Hi, I'm Liam O'Rourke, and this week we're talking 1995, the year the diesel machine lost all the tread in its tires. Speaking of, Pamela Anderson looked about as excited to be at the 95 Rumble as Alberto Del Rio did when he was introduced into the League of Nations on this week's Raw.
I'm Kieran O'Rourke, and this week on Twitter I'm launching a one-man campaign to get Kurt Angle on this very show. Hashtag petition Kurt, tell him to come on the show, and don't forget to follow me at Wrestling Proc.
I'm G. John Chase, and considering it's December now, I think it's only fair to say exactly what I asked for Christmas. I asked Santa for an exciting WWE product and a brand new champion, and instead he's decided to give me Sheamus. Fuck you, Santa.
And I'm Carl Jones. Old man Carl Jones. I'm the greatest guy in history. From the town of Telford, I'm about to have a drink or three. That's right, folks, this week I'm back on the wagon, so hit me up on Twitter at oldmanjones85 and let me know, sober or drunk, how does he perform better on the podcast?
This is the panel for the 64th Squared Circle Gazette Radio, and you can hear us try and fix the WWF in 1995, next. Hello everyone, and welcome to the 64th Squared Circle Gazette Radio. I am Liam O'Rourke, alongside G. John Chase.
Fuck.
Carl Jones.
May as well call me the Axeman this week.
And Kieran O'Rourke.
All right.
Very enthusiastic introduction from you there, Kieran.
I was reading or something.
Oh, sorry about that.
This is all because of Dreamer, isn't it?
Oh, fucking Tommy Dreamer.
Save it for the Christmas show in a couple of weeks. You can save your angst there. We're focused this week because we are here, ladies and gentlemen, this week for the third of our booking committee format shows. We've done two of these previously. We tried to save WCW in October of 1999. We tried to redo the brand extension from April of 2002, both of which you can check in the archives at squaredcirclegazette.com. This is the third installment of our booking committee format, this time trying to fix the WWF in 1995, generally considered the most maligned year in company history, and it is our job today to try and save this company from all-time low attendances and record low pay-per-view buy rates. So you can kind of look at this two ways. This is either going to be the most difficult challenge we've faced yet, or kind of easy because we really can't do much worse. The floor is very low for this one, so...
I can see the iceberg ahead.
Don't hate us for this fantasy booking stuff, because we got requests to do this format.
We did.
It's not an ego trip. This is, you know, it's a bit of fun, and it is what it is, so...
Exactly. Thank you for putting that in there. Nice little note.
Disclaimer.
Though we are always right.
Now, before we get to the gist of what the problems were with the year from a creative perspective, which is what we're here today to fix, we looked at this roster in 1995, especially when you look at the Royal Rumble 95, which is just a fucking horrible match. The 30-man Royal Rumble. Star power is completely void in that particular match, and it just makes it obvious that, much like... in the October 99 WCW show we did, that this roster needed a little bit of trimming around the edges, if you will. So what we did the same thing that we did for the WCW 99 show, where we put out to the panelists here, the four of us, who should be fired from the roster as it stood on January 1st, 1995, which is the day we're going from. So we're not allowed to go back in time and kind of retroactively change things that we wouldn't necessarily want, such as Diesel winning the belt in that manner, perhaps. We have everything that the WWF had on January 1st to go with. So with that said, of all the people that we could fire, three votes got you fired. It took a majority vote to do it. So these are the guys that are no longer with the World Wrestling Federation, got three votes around the table. King Kong Bundy.
Hey.
Nikolai Volkoff.
Hey.
Mantar.
Hey.
Jacob and Eli Blue hit the bricks. Luke and Butch, get the fuck out.
Yeah!
Doink and Dink, see you later. Duke the Dumpster Drosy, Eric Watts, Chad Fortune, Harvey Wimpleman, Afa, Lou Albano, MVP, which was Steve Lombardi, not Montel Vontavious Porter, and Oscar of Men in a Mission, who was deemed a useless manager.
Who was Doink at this point then?
Doink was Ray Apollo. This doesn't necessarily mean we're going to fire everybody straight away. We can phase them out. We can just, you know, job them out and bin them in a couple of months. But these are the guys that we were looking to get rid of. Obviously, with a four-man panel, we did have the gridlock of some guys that got two votes only. So we're going to debate those guys right now. IRS. I voted for him to go.
I voted for him to go.
We got two no's from Carl and G, so he's still in the company unless anybody wants to renege on their vote.
Can that?
I voted to keep him just as a utility guy because
just because of the fact because
plumber in the back or something.
He could just be a caretaker. Yeah, just have him around to do some jobs, because I kind of want to keep him in the company, because I'm afraid that if he goes to WCW, that might change the tide and WCW will beat us in the ratings.
VK Wall Street,
you know,
early.
If he ever goes to the NWO, we're fucked.
Yeah. I will say, actually, again, considering that Undertaker and IRS was booked for the Rumble already by the end of 94, I guess we're going to have to ride it out until then anyway. Ugh. Carl, you're keeping IRS? He was gone by June.
I think the last match he had was with Savio on the free-for-all for the King of the Ring, if I remember rightly. But I said this to you before, Liam, that there are a lot of people I could have cut. I could have quite easily cut more than I did when I submitted my
fight list
to you. But much like G, IRS, he's there as a utility guy. I'm not going to put any focus on him, and he's going to be used to get baby faces over that we want to push.
Well done, who also on this 2-2 list. I want to get rid of Well Done.
I want to get rid of Well Done.
I mean, there's a pattern here, Kieran.
A jobber tag team. I mean, their goose is effectively cooked.
But on that proviso, rationale even, that's as a jobber tag team, that's why I was going to keep the Blue Brothers around.
I'm glad that that the Blues did get the 3 votes, Kieran.
See, that's why I voted to keep Eric Watts and Chad Fortune, because at the end of the day, you know, I get a perverse joy out of seeing Eric Watts jobbed out.
Yeah. Well, okay, keep Well Done around.
So, okay, so they're staying. Mr. Fuji got 2 votes. Kieran didn't vote, and I don't think Carl did.
It was an accident. I meant to vote. I meant to shit can him. Yeah.
So are we saying that's 3?
Yeah.
Back to where
he can't walk and he can't talk.
All right, so you're gone, Fuji. Back to the land.
Neither
of the
could several
sun.
Roster members who've kept their jobs looking at this list.
Well, Mo, give me some Mo.
No, thanks.
Mo,
no thanks.
No, Mo, more of that for me.
Well, I thought you'd know for Mo.
Did you?
I meant to.
I meant to as well, but I did look back on the list I sent to Liam, and he was missing off there. That may be because of drink, I couldn't possibly comment, but I'm happy to renege and let him hit the bricks.
So Mo's gone, so Mabel is on his own in the World Wrestling Federation. Barry Horowitz was fired by 2, kept by 2. I'm not really fussed about Barry either way, I didn't fire him. In that case, I'll change my vote. Barry Horowitz fired.
Yay!
Horowitz is gone. Man Mountain Rock got 2-2.
No way.
Actually, on reflection, I regret that.
I'm glad.
Max Payne, come on.
Max Payne, damn it.
I want to keep him, actually.
Not that Max Payne was like, you know, Vader or anything like that, but
yeah. Let's keep him around.
What else we've got?
He can play a guitar, so that's more talent than half the roster.
Which works wonderfully for a wrestling promotion, because we all know how well those musical skits do. Look, we've still got Mabel. We've still got Yokozuna. We've got, you know, Bam Bams on there. We've got enough fat fucks on this roster.
I tried to get rid of Yokozuna.
We're not going to miss Man Mountain Rock.
All right, so moving along. We've kind of got the roster, the cuts and the debatable ones out the way. Let's talk about the guys that did come into the WWF during 1995 and decide whether we're going to keep those or not. Sid came in February. Questionable gentleman. We've talked about him before in the Midnight War timeline and his suspect nature. I can hear Take Me Out to the Ball Game ringing from here, so I don't think we're going to have him for that long. But
Look, we're kind of running low on names, at least. Okay, so we kind of need to have Sid around, even if it's just for the short term. Otherwise, like him, we'll just end up shitting our pants.
Well, agreeing around the table?
Well, with Sid, it's always the short term, isn't it? So I'd argue we keep him. He's a name, there's a bit of a presence there. We don't have to, you know, push him to the moon or anything. Yeah. We can use him as we see fit.
Yeah, I agree.
Bertha Faye.
Bye-bye.
Gets a no from me.
Yeah. Why have we kept Alundra Blaze when there's no women's division? And Bull Nakano?
Well, you see, this is
financial cut. Sorry, I know
you're the only person that voted for Alundra and Bull, and I'm guessing, because Bull was suspended for a cocaine failure anyway at the start of the year, and then got fired for another cocaine failure, so I don't really know
We haven't got Nakano, so let's just get rid of Alundra. At least she's not going to be dropping the world title into a trash can anytime soon.
Yeah, the only thing I could say is maybe hope for the best and try and get the All Japan women in earlier in the year. Who knows? You don't even know if you can do that, so...
Keep him there as part of the furniture, really. I didn't really think about him, to be honest.
Doc Hendricks, Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah.
Keep him. I like Hayes.
Talk.
Rad Radford.
When does he die?
He dies in 98.
Ah, that's alright then.
Yeah. We've got a while.
So long as he doesn't drop down on our watch.
I would say yeah, but he's not Rad Radford.
Yeah, I say yes, not Rad Radford. I got an idea from
Spicoli, or just another name?
Yeah, Lou Spicoli. Yeah,
okay.
Skip and Sonny. Again, 2 yeses from me here.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
But not a Skip, probably not.
No, not a Skip.
No.
Thank
you. No.
How about Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
It's got to be a long term, of course.
Well, hold on a second. Let's just think about this. We could prevent a lot of shit here. If
but we don't know that at this point.
Yeah,
do
we? Someone else with Katie Vick.
That's my stupid nonsensical one. Yeah, of course, keep Triple H.
Waylon Mercy.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I've got nothing against Dan Spivey by any means.
I do. I don't think he's that good, to be quite honest. But I like the character.
I like the character. The problem is that his body had broken down. You can see that from the time they brought him in. So he's not any use to us in that role. You could maybe use Waylon Mercy as a character for someone else. Mercy's body isn't up to up to what's required. So no, we don't bring him in.
Yeah, he came in June, didn't make it till the end of the year. Chris Benoit did a tryout in June. Obviously, didn't come into the WWF, but the availability is there. Chris Benoit did do tryouts. There was interest, but they decided to pass. Good decision.
And the rationale that offering contracts and the Vince edict, I would say for legitimacy purposes, we don't bring him in. It feels like cheating to me.
Yeah,
like keeping a London Blaze around on this mystical proviso with the All Japan women are coming in. So for me, for legitimacy purposes, I say we do not. Not that I wouldn't want him, but
because they chose not to anyway.
Yeah,
pretty much echo those sentiments, really.
Damn it! I wanted him.
I want him as well. I'm saying we're in a situation that. Well, I'm not saying that we can guarantee that we can get him, but I'm assuming we're in the situation. At least we'd have some sort of like.
We'd have a chance.
Some sort of ear in Vince's. You know, just to say, look, Vince, you might not see anything in him, but we can do something with him.
I don't think we can, but whatevs.
All right.
If you guys want to cheat,
I'll go along with that. I'll go along with that on the legitimacy argument. Since they didn't have him. I guess we'll adhere to that. One guy they did decide was talented enough to come in was Glenn Jacobs. Isaac Yankem comes in August. Yay or nay for your favourite wrestler, Carl?
Because
I'm going to say yes.
I suppose on the base of what my logic was to debunk G's suggestion for Triple H, I can't very well attempt the same with old Glenn, so I guess he's on board.
I think there's potential there anyway. If you didn't use him straight away, just have him under contract. The time will come. The Dean! Dean Douglas, comes in August. So do we take the French fries?
I think you take him, but not as the Dean.
Yeah, not as the Dean, but definitely. Yeah,
we take Target's Employee of the Month.
How about Goldust in September? That seems like an easy yes to me.
That's a no-brainer. Mm.
Yeah, how about MJ, Marty Jannetty in September?
Now, talking about cocaine, how likely is he going to stick around for?
Well, he did stick around for about a year.
About a year, yeah. You know, bearing in mind they went into the new rockers phase with old Leif Cassidy, so you know we need some workers on this roster, and Jannetty can work on his better days.
Speaking of the new rockers, Avatar / Al Snow came in October, and I'm saying yes to Al, but no to Avatar.
Agreed.
Yeah. How about the Big Johnson? Ahmed comes in October.
He's fine.
All right, Ahmed's in. The Ringmaster.
Not as the Ringmaster.
Nah, get rid of him.
Yeah, and Santa Claus.
No.
No.
Okay, he's gone.
I said yeah.
What, for balls?
Yeah.
Balls. To
balls. Yeah, balls. He's not completely broken down yet.
Even Colin Bollocks probably doesn't want to see that one.
Alrighty, so that's a note to Santa Claus. So moving on now, look, we've done a little bit of a housekeeping with the roster. Let's talk about the shows themselves, because I know, this was a bone of contention for you as we were talking off-air about, again, before we get to Diesel, before we get to the world title, the booking of the shows, there's a bit of an issue here with the television as it's going on right now. And actually, I want to give a mention to Paul Siebert from the FLW board, who actually mentioned this as one of the things he would like to improve, when he says the WWF was super slow to catch up to Nitro in terms of production values around this time. Hell, I think at one point they were actually shooting Raw out of what appeared to be a high school gym. The WWE might not have been ready to go live or move to bigger venues, but they sure as hell could have made their productions look slicker and edgier. The infamous Are You Ready intro to Superstars, which he opened the show with, sticks in mind as a testament to how out of touch production was in this era. Somebody actually thought that was cool.
Yeah, obviously in terms of both TVs and pay-per-views, there's definitely needs to be we need a better look for these shows. I'm not going to necessarily turn around and say that we should immediately go towards like Attitude Era looking kind of stuff, but I mean, as has already just been mentioned, Nitro had a much better production value than us. We may not be able to compete immediately, but it doesn't stop us from at least trying.
No.
That seems to be the general problem with 95. In particular, shows they just didn't look good enough. They looked second rate.
WrestleMania 11 is a great example. Actually, this is a microcosm.
Yeah, and so I think upgrade in look.
When you talk about updating something, I must admit my mind doesn't automatically go to the Superstars intro, as terrible as that was, and comically terrible. You know, overtures of Wrestle Rock Rumble terrible. nothing to me screams more second rate than. here's the pay-per-view for this month. It's called In Your House. It's like the one we had 2 months ago, with a door as the entranceway.
So, moving along now to the creative side of things, just for those of you who may not know off the top of your head, a championship roll call as of the 1st of January 1995. The WWF World Champion was, of course, Diesel. The Intercontinental Champion was Razor Ramon. The WWF Tag Team titles were vacant after Shawn and Diesel split up and didn't drop them in the ring. And the WWF Women's Champion was Bull Nakano, who at this point was actually, I'm not sure if she was out yet or she's about to be out with a cocaine violation. She's just kind of not really doing much at this exact moment.
And let's face it, that's the last time we're going to mention the women's title for the rest of this podcast.
That is probably correct. So we'll move on now to the biggest issue of 1995, or when it comes to what people's sour grapes are. The obviously worst drawing champion in history at this point, the Diesel situation. Yashimaga from WrestlingForum.com says, I would say the biggest issue that the WWF had in 95 was that they did with Diesel what they're currently trying to do with Roman Reigns. Not only forcing him down the fans' throats whether they like it or not, but making him a sympathetic babyface while they do it, even though he has no business being one. What got Diesel over in the first place was that he was an ass kicker that was cool and cocky, plain and simple. Although he won the belt, they had him smiling at the crowd, kissing babies, walking old ladies across the street, and all that other bullshit. They should have kept his character the same. Gorgeous Dale Newstead from TPW says Vince turned him into such a kissing babies champion to the point it was mentioned in the storylines. He lacked the fire that made the fans love him in the first place. How the hell can you make a 7-footer sympathetic? Slasher from Pro Wrestling Only says about Diesel, his problem besides being booked like a total babyface was that he essentially took the belt from a guy the fans respected a lot in Bret Hart. Yes, he actually beat Bob Backlund for it, but it was right after Bob won it from Bret, and I don't think he had a fair enough opportunity to win it back from Backlund before Diesel just swooped in. Having to face Bret, and then a Shawn Michaels hell-bent on turning himself babyface against the intention of the game plan so early in his reign, did not help. His first real decent feud since winning was against Sid, which was the spring, a good 6 to 7 months into his reign. Then Mabel? Not good at all. Smelly Meatball from TPWW says, don't make Diesel the main focal point of the year. Him winning the title wasn't a bad idea, but should have been more of a transitional champ and not as someone holding the belt for almost an entire year. Gary Niceman, I hope I pronounced that right, from the UK Fan Forum, says booking Diesel to be a smiley, happy character was daft. In fairness, it was the cookie-cutter mentality that Vince thought his babyface champion should be, but it was being a cool tweener that made his character popular in 94, and ironically enough, what made Diesel so interesting after dropping the belt to Bret at Survivor Series. Not allowing Mabel anywhere near the main event would also be a must. Bloke was a reckless maniac and had no business being anything other than a novelty tag act. And since he's got rid of Mo, he can't even be that, apparently. The great Rick Morris from the FDHLounge.blogspot.com chimes in as well and says, if the belt's already on Nash, then there's one problem that's going to be there regardless. But building strong heels for post-Mania is very important. Keeping Sid super strong and turning either Luger or Ramon, Diesel was a diarrhea champion, yes, but the dearth of heel opponents sealed his doom. And I get rid of the no-win situation of having him face Hart at the Rumble, better to squash Backlund again. Carl, I think on the last booking committee show he did, you said that the worst-kept secret of the show is that Hogan's not winning the title. I think the worst kept secret on this podcast is Mabel's not winning the King of the Ring and he's not headlining SummerSlam. Agreed?
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Alright, so moving on from there. So this does bring us on to, of course, the overall company direction, because Diesel's got the belt. He's wrestling Bret at the Royal Rumble. We can obviously change that with an angle if we need to, but Diesel is champion heading into WrestleMania. Diesel is champion for the rest of the year. This is a huge question. Obviously, we've got so many comments from the loyal listeners. Our contributors have always chimed in with so many different suggestions for where the belt goes, and we're going to get to them throughout the course of the show. But it seems like a good idea now to spitball this, because this is the big thing. It starts at the top.
Well, to me at this point, Diesel power is running on unleaded. Or possibly 4-star, take your pick.
It is also worth noting as well, in the Wrestling Observer newsletters early in 95, they talk about how the house shows of Diesel's first run was half of what the previous ones were, and also there were magazines in Japan that outright called Diesel a box office failure 2 months into his run. It was kind of the writing was already on the wall with Nash.
I'll just throw this as a hypothetical around the table, because I don't think you can immediately turn Diesel heel again straight away. I think you need a little bit of breathing space, though not too much. My argument would be that I'd still say he goes into Mania as champion, because I don't want to hotshot the belt again too quickly.
No.
But I have him drop it at Mania 11.
Okay. I see nodding on the other side of the table there from Kieran.
Yeah, I agree. He drops it, and I'll drop yet to Shawn as a heel, and then it sets up for the rest of the year the overarching story of babyface Bret, heel Shawn, the feud that we never got and we bang on about over and over again. Probably put maybe Bam Bam with Shawn as the roadblock for Bret, but that'd be my overarching direction.
okay, I sense a little bit of uncertainty, and I know this is going to happen. Obviously, we have to do this by committee, but I get sense there's probably going to be four different opinions about where
the
belt goes on this.
Show, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Carl, you were the first one to mutter there. Shawn Michaels, not your pick to beat Diesel for the belt, I can tell.
No, because I still want the Bret Shawn match. Much like you, I want the match we never got, but I still don't want that until Mania 12. So to me, it's Bret that wins the belt at Mania 11 and has a strong run throughout the year whilst building Shawn up the other end. See, to me, without getting too far down the line, I want Shawn winning the King of the Ring. And we don't have to have him wear the goofy crown and all that sort of thing, but I want him to win the tournament.
Is it a heel or a face?
By that point, as a babyface, I want him turned by King of the Ring.
So you want face-face at Mania 12, as they did?
I want face-face at Mania 12, but obviously I'd forego any notions of an Iron Man match.
I love Shawn Michaels, you know that as well as anyone, Kieran. I'm not sure that Shawn was ready for the world title in 95. Especially because Diesel's having credibility issues. I don't think Shawn beating him is the best start for him either.
Yeah, I think that's a little too much of a hard sell on that one. Not that I'm completely against Shawn getting a title.
Shawn's not going to win 3-1, that's fine. So he's Bret. The next suggestion, well, so Bret then, is Carl's suggestion.
Speaking to your point, Carl, a couple of candidates here, people who think Bret Hart should be the champion. The following contest from Pro Wrestling Only says, I always thought a Diesel heel turn against Bret at the Royal Rumble could have set up a nice Bret versus scheming Shawn and Diesel angle, culminating with face Bret beating heel Diesel at WrestleMania and then setting up Bret Shawn for SummerSlam. It would have screwed with what eventually happened in 96, but I think Bret Diesel and then Bret Shawn would have been much better than Shawn Diesel and Mabel Diesel, which I certainly agree with that. And Skulkazoid from the F4W board says, I don't think Shawn Michaels would have done any better in 95 than he did in 96. It would have been better, however, if Bret had the title for most of 95 before dropping it to Shawn in 96, because a big part of the failure to get Shawn over was that Bret felt like such a transitional champion. He could have been a real champion, dropping the belt to the next real champion.
I was going to still keep in mind that Shawn was going to win at WrestleMania 12, but I actually sided on not doing Bret Shawn at 12 at all. It still kind of bothers me. I don't know how we're going to play into this. Like, we still assume that Bret's going to go away after WrestleMania 12. I don't know if we're going to even go that far.
We can't assume anything.
Just for me, just seeing those two as baby faces facing off against each other, I don't see... Well, it's obviously a great situation for Shawn because Shawn will come out as the winner, but I don't see that being a great situation for Bret. I'd rather see Shawn beat a heel, a proper heel, to get the belt at WrestleMania 12. So I'd actually avoid the Bret-Shawn situation. Saying that, with WrestleMania 11, in my head, I actually kept it the match exactly the same as it was. Diesel versus Shawn. Shawn can do his usual stick like he will do of getting over in the match, but Diesel still wins at the end of it. I think the only difference I would have made was I would have made that the actual main event of WrestleMania 11 and not the Lawrence Taylor match.
Regardless of whether it's the last match or it's a match from the top, then I think with that scenario, you still end up with Diesel in the weakened position he found himself in at the time.
Yeah, so far we've got Shawn winning the belt, Diesel retaining the belt, and Bret winning the belt. So where you go?
I'm kind of all over the place in myself, because if I was going to say I wanted Shawn to win the belt, I don't want Tyler as a babyface. He's obviously an awesome heel. The only question is it an organic thing anyway? Because people were kind of liking Shawn because Shawn was trying so hard to get over. This is the period where we fell in love with him because of this very thing, Kieran. So it's like the best application of Shawn is as a heel, I feel. That obnoxious fucking chewing your gum to the point you want to rip his hair out like Bret Hart did backstage. Oh man, this is gonna be tough.
I'd say you build to it, because as you stated, if you try and rush it too much, there could be the potential same backlash with Diesel. The Diesel situation is you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If we take the belt off him straight away, then we're damaging the belt, because there's going to be like just too quick a transition between champions. But if we stick with him for too long, then we're stuck with Diesel, and that's the fucking problem in the first place that we're trying to avoid.
I don't think 3 months is too quick a turnaround, bearing in mind he's beat Backlund after what?
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah, 3 days.
I think 3 months is fine.
Well, in that case, if Shawn's not quite ready yet, Or we're still kind of debating whether it's babyface or heel, then does someone else win the Rumble and Diesel faces someone else?
We'll get to that in a second. just want to read this quickly. While we're on the subject of Sean, there's a couple of people here who did want Shawn Michaels as the guy this year. Truth of Sin from the UK fan forum says, HPK going over at Mania as the cocky heel champion with Big Sid in his corner. I would have had him feud with Diesel through to SummerSlam first off, then Ramon through to a ladder match at Survivor Series. HPK retains and shakes hands with Ramon out of respect. Sid destroys Shawn the next night. Diesel makes the save. HPK has to surrender the title. The December preview has Bret Hart winning in a tournament. This would lead to the same HPK winning the Rumble and Iron Man match against Bret that we got in 96. Sid will be built as a monster going forward, knocking off Ramon and Diesel before falling to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Project Humanoid from the FOW board also pitching Shawn Michaels says, big changes at the Rumble. Diesel actually beats Bret, but it's because of interference from Owen, Backlund, and Shawn Michaels. Michaels still wins the Rumble. The Bigelow LT build-up remains the same, but Diesel comes out and brawls with Bigelow afterwards. Shawn does an in-ring interview the next night after the Rumble, explaining he knows Diesel's weaknesses and flat out calls him a weak champion, explaining that he helped him beat Bret Hart because he knew he'd win the Rumble and he wanted an easier opponent at Mania in Diesel. On the tag team front, the Guns beat Kid and Bob Holly just as they did in reality. They lose a rematch the next week and a match later on against the Blue Twins. After another loss, this time to the Heavenly Bodies, Kid turns on Holly and begins to buddy up with Shawn Michaels. Diesel is more heavily involved in the LT Bigelow build as well, and Michaels makes a note about how Diesel needs to stop hanging out with the football players and concentrate on him. At WrestleMania, Luger beats the Tonka to blow off their feud for good. Bundy tries for the run-in, but the Bulldog makes the save, forming the Allied Powers, that illustrious tag team, which...
Great.
I don't sense that's going to make it 95 around this table. Taker beats Sid, who just debuted with DiBiase. The 1-2-3 Kid's mystery partner is Jeff Jarrett, and they win the tag team titles. Razor Ramon successfully defends the IC belt against Owen. LT beats Bigelow with Diesel in his corner, and Michaels beats Diesel for the belt. Diesel fights valiantly to overcome the odds, taking down Shawn, Kidd, and Jarrett after a protracted Earl Hebner ref bump. Diesel jackknifes Shawn, gets the visual three, but Razor Ramon runs in and lays out Diesel to help set up HBK's victory. So now we have a new heel stable in the vein of the Horsemen: Shawn, Razor, Kidd, and Jeff Jarrett, and they've got all the belts. Diesel vows to retaliate In Your House and does, returning the favor, costing Razor the IC title in a match against Bam Bam. It's not all good news, as Diesel falls short in his WrestleMania rematch with Shawn Michaels, though he does win by DQ, which leads us to King of the Ring, where a title shot at SummerSlam is on the line in the tournament. Shawn Michaels defends the belt against Bret in the main event, but the tournament is stacked. Diesel dispatches Jarrett, Razor, and The Undertaker on the way to earning a SummerSlam rematch with Michaels, and he makes damn sure it's with Michaels by helping him beat Bret Hart. No offense to Bret, he says, but Shawn is his, and he doesn't care who's standing in his way, they're going down. From here, you can see how Diesel's going, and either put the belt back on him at SummerSlam, or you can put the heat onto Shawn and Bret. There are a million ways to go, and no King Mabel. Which is actually a common thread, I noticed in the feedback. Everybody ended it with no King Mabel. So there's a couple of suggestions for Shawn there. It's... again, it comes back to that thing for me. If I'm not sure Shawn's ready, but with the right scenario, I think he could be. I think it's one of the things that needs to be sold on it more, because Diesel's so weak, and I'm just worried about that weak champion complex more than thinking Shawn's not good enough.
I just think that, as you said, we've kind of got this blank slate with, you know, the Diesel benchmark. So what's going to be good? What's going to give us quality main events? Heel Shawn Michaels. It's an interesting, fantastic character, and it also dissolves the problem of having no strong heel challenges, because we've got a heel champion.
To that end, and sort of following on from Rick Morris's email there, one of the names he mentioned, this is going to stun everyone. And I will stress, I've only had one can so far, so this isn't me drunk. I actually want to reheat Luger as a heel.
Me too.
I want to reheat Luger as a heel, and my theory was Bret Luger at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I was thinking Bret Luger at Mania if Bret wasn't going to be in the title match, because... that's such a natural thing to go with anyway.
There's a natural feud there that you've already got the story to build.
You've got the story to build. It's so easy. Even if you have to do Bret Diesel, you could do a situation where Luger's the one that costs Bret the belt to set to WrestleMania, and the story obviously is, I dropped my narcissistic ways, I repped the country, I needed everybody's support, and then last year at the Royal Rumble, the Lex Express ran into a pink and black brick wall because everybody chose Bret and not me. But still, I swallowed the bitter pill, I went on to WrestleMania, I even raised Bret's hand when he won, even though I got completely screwed. And the entire year, Bret was champion, he never gave me a single title match, he never threw anything my way, and then the company, after Bret gets screwed, immediately gives him the rematch against Diesel at the Rumble. Fuck this, fuck America, fuck the fans, fuck the company. I'm back to being about me.
I would have even thrown in a bit of a cheap line about how, you know, the 1993 Superstar of the Year voting. I'm there waving my flag being a Mr. Americana, and you voted for the Canadian.
What's wrong with you people?
Am I the only one who gives a shit about the rules?
How?
I'm not surprised at all, Carl, that you would go with that, because I was thinking the same thing
as you guys. I think it should be a surprise that I voted it.
Yeah. But I think you're absolutely right. It was the main thing that came to my mind when looking over this roster, was that Luger, for me, at least over 95, it is the main heel. I was going to have Cornette with him, because Luger's not completely incapable of talking, but for someone to be, in my mind, at least be up there in terms of top heel, he needed like a really good mouthpiece, like a real great heat getter, like Cornette. I'd probably almost do it where, at least for a little while, even under Cornette's tutorage, that he still kind of wears the American outfit and still comes out to the music, but he's kind of doing it ironically, if you can kind of get what I mean. Like, he's kind of taking the piss out of it now, saying like, this is like what you made me wear, and I'm going to shove it down your fucking throats. But no, I absolutely agree with you, Carl and Liam. I'd say Luger turns heel and feuds with Brett.
Yeah, fine with me too. One of the roadblocks for Brett getting back to Sean in my scenario was going to be a feud with Luger, with Luger as heel. So yeah, time wise whenever, but in principle, yeah, absolutely.
So we've got some ideas in mind there, some general patterns or general trends, fault lines, if you will, to follow. But we still need to make a decision. Where is this belt going?
Can I make things even more cloudy and suggest some more?
Oh, great. Come on, muddy the waters.
Muddy the waters, because, there's, like you said, the feedback had so many different suggestions where this belt can go. Yashimaga from Wrestling Forum says, Scott Hall was over back then, and the WF never capitalised on it. Now, a lot of that was due to his preference for nose candy and booze, but that didn't stop Vince from giving Shawn Michaels multiple title reigns, so it shouldn't have stopped Razor from getting a title win at least once. Personally, I think him as a babyface chasing the world title from heel Diesel that year would have made for decent ratings and a good story. I guess would have had Razor go over in the 95 Rumble and then take the title from Diesel at WrestleMania. They didn't really do anything with HBK winning that year anyway, as he went to Mania and just did the job. So I would have him win the next year, like he ended up doing, and then have everything unfold just like it did. John Haddock from the Facebook page says, I would have booked Razor in to win the Rumble and help break him into the top tier where he belonged at that point. Shawn winning the Rumble and losing at Mania 11 never sat right with me. If he'd been the last person to be eliminated by Razor, he could play off the Nearly Man storyline the following year, something I'm sure Brett would have enjoyed taking advantage job at the time. I think it would have added a little more the following year to his Rumble win and the build to his eventual victory at Mania 12. When you have Razor go over at WrestleMania, I'd leave that up to you, but after Big Sexy's reign of fail, it might have been worth the punt. Also, push Jerry Lawler to the moon with on an atom bomb. If you think you might be getting on too many people's nerves...
An atom bomb?
Yeah. Double your efforts. I want heat so nuclear you think the world was coming from Chernobyl every week. Gary Thompson, also on the Facebook page, says Razor wins the Rumble. Second, the hokey family-friendly side of it, reduced, not totally gone, as network and sponsors may play a huge factor. Razor and Owen Hart will have to get a huge push this year to me. HBK also obviously gets a huge push, including winning King of the Ring. Diesel starts the year as champion, but when there's a decline, I'll be looking at Razor winning the main title at WrestleMania, with Shawn winning the King of the Ring in my fantasy booking, and those two will meet at SummerSlam. And the Generation MC from WrestlingPorn.com says, looking back, I fucking hated how Razor just got stuck in the IC title mix. It was like he was getting stuck. By it. I think he should have just left it alone after dropping it to Diesel in 94. God, let the 1-2-3 kid chase Jarrett instead of dragging Razor along. Teaming him up with Lawrence Taylor at Mania 11 would have been a nice opportunity to give Razor some exposure. After that, I'd push him towards the WWF title and give him the belt for a couple of months before dropping it to Brett at the 96 Rumble. Maybe Diesel and Razor at Mania 12 if Big Daddy Cool costs him the title. And finally, Fanny Pack from the UK Fan Forum says Razor's heel turn was much needed after Mania. Give him a little stable, originally Kid, then Savio, stick the belt on him after a feud with Diesel at SummerSlam, feud him with the Bulldog and Brett, and Shawn beats him in the ladder match at Mania 12. We get fresh Razor with fresh feuds, it sweetens Hall and Nash so they stay, and we still get Shawn and Jose at the end.
Yeah, Razor winning the Rumble and then Shawn taking him out was my second option.
Yeah.
The plus side of plug it, Shawn as the heel champ, is that you got the natural match with Razor.
Yeah.
Coming off the ladder match from WrestleMania 10. If you do the thing where he takes him out again, it's just heating that up for him to come back. The guy's beaten before, and if you got Luger and Brett going at it in first 4 month period as well, it's that's your main event. So yeah, I'm again time wise ambivalent, but a push for Razor is something that was high on the agenda.
Yeah, I mean that's always been obviously as a fan of Ramon, it's always been a bit of a mystery to me in 95, like Razor Ramon's positioning, because I could understand why they did what they did with Brett. I can see why they did what they did with Shawn. I'm not saying I agree with it. I can just empathize. And the same with Diesel as well. But I could never understand why Ramon didn't go up to the next level. Yeah, the guy was over,
as hell. I'm not going to turn around and try and make out like he was the most over person in the company, because I don't think he was, but I think he was certainly up there. I think he was certainly like a, if they were looking for baby faces, you know, I thought he would have been a better option than turning Diesel babyface to get into that position. And you know, and I can't imagine it was anything like, because, you know, Hall's a pretty big guy anyway. He's pretty freaking tall, so I can't like think that was like working against him, like Vince thought he wasn't big enough or anything like that. But it's just, I don't know, maybe it's because of like the way he looks, that he wasn't your typical babyface in terms of like the looks, that he maybe Vince always thought, nah, I can't put the machine behind him as the lead babyface, so he never did. But I don't understand why he was just stuck.
It's
in
tricky.
The mid-card.
You maybe saw him more in the character that he kind of typecast him in himself.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think also, I remember Rick Morris on the FDH Lounge shows, I mentioned this, that, you know, Razor seemed like a good logical candidate because he's kind of the halfway house between the great worker choices of Brett and Sean and the super big guy in Diesel. He's like the nice middle ground between the two. Mm. But I think therein lies the problem. He doesn't accomplish either of those ultimate ends. So to Vince, Diesel had the Hulk Hogan upside, whereas Razor was a guy who, yeah, keep in mind again, Diesel had been built up, yeah, I want to say slowly, but over the course of the previous year he'd been on that upward ascension. I'm up for pushing Razor in the second half of the year. At WrestleMania, I like the idea of him and LT as the team. I don't think LT Bigelow is a good idea. I think it's actually quite disastrous. It depends if we even want to use Lawrence Taylor, but if we were going to use LT and hope for some kind of media publicity, I'd stick him in a team with Razor because he'd be a good guy to benefit.
I think that would be far, far less damaging, and you wouldn't need LT to get the pin on.
No, exactly.
You can, have Razor get the win.
Got the ideal opponents too, when we get to that.
The idea of pushing Ramon in the later half of the year I'm more comfortable with, just because, you know, I know people talk about how bad he in 95 was for him in some respects. I still wouldn't argue it's as bad as what happened to Brett during that year, just for the record. That was terrible. But
the dentist's calling.
Oh, God. 94 was largely, you know, after Mania, pretty much a nothing year for Razor. He loses in the King of the Ring final to Owen. Yes, there's that interference from the Anvil, but he still loses.
It doesn't go anywhere.
The SummerSlam feud with Diesel just didn't click for me. I don't know if that was the case for everyone around the table. Then following on from that, they don't do a fat lot with him. He sort of, you know, wins the Survivor Series match by default, and the Jarrett feud just sort of comes out of nowhere.
That's one thing that I would kind of...
Put the kibosh on that, but just generally, that, you know, they, Ramon hadn't been a focal point or a real... There wasn't a real laser focus on Razor at pretty much any point to me after Mania 10.
Right.
So I think you need time to build a bit more credibility back into Ramon before you... I'm not saying you put the belt on him, but if you're looking towards pushing him further up that card and to be one of the main players... I think he needs a bit more of a reheat and a build-up beforehand.
I'd agree. I think losing the IC title would do a world of good, because I think the problem with Razor was he was typecast in that IC title position for quite a while. If I'm going to get the belt off him onto anybody, and obviously we're going to come back to the world title because there's so many possibilities we're going to get to throughout the course of the show, but just talk about the IC title for now and Razor's position, I think Owen's a great choice to get the belt off Razor at the Rumble instead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I for definitely early on in the year, because pretty much like we've already debated over Owen about his potential. I think he could have been a decent world champion, but I think that year has passed. I think 94 was the opportunity to do that, and I don't think 95 is now. So I think
I didn't even think 94 was, to be honest.
That was what was debated. But 95, I think, yeah, Intercontinental definitely. Personally, like later on in the year, before we start getting like the major names that we get in the final quarter, I'm looking more towards a Mr. Chris Candido being an IC champ for me with Sonny in his corner.
I'd be inclined to stick Candido in a team.
Oh,
with Spicoli, because Lou Spicoli was coming off One Worlds Collide. He was charismatic. Candido, when they originally brought Candido in, the original idea was for him to be in a tag team, like a Blonde Bombers, Patterson Stevens-esque tag team, heel tag team. And that tag team division needs something, man. And there's a couple of teams I'm going to kind of throw together throughout the course of this podcast, or at least suggest. But Candido and Spicoli coming in as a team, good wrestlers, charisma there. If you want Sonny with him still, then there's a hot act there.
I thought, yeah, Sonny's got to definitely be with him.
And plus, Owen helps that belt more than, like, almost anybody else could at this point.
Owen does give it a certain sense of credibility, at least.
He's been main eventing for a year. So,
coming back off the back of the Bret Hart feud.
But I don't want to sound redundant here, but I want to bring us back, because we still haven't decided where the hell this world title's going.
Well, the reason why I wanted to mention Razor,
we need to do that.
I think that Razor's a guy that obviously is going to be good to get the IC belt off him. I think LT's a good person for Razor to team with if we want to do that. And then, again, if you've got half a mind to push Razor, push him at the back end of the year, not for WrestleMania is the point. Obviously, we've gone long-winded and gone for a few detours in order to get to that point. But it does come down to the fact that we still don't know whether we're going to stick with Diesel, go to Sean, or go to Bret. Now, just to elaborate on this, because we heard about the idea for Sean and Bret series throughout the course of the year. Carl, what's your pitch in terms of Bret? What would you do with him if he was the champion?
My long-term view would be to... I say long-term. Or say medium-term, that makes a bit more sense. Would be Luger Bret at SummerSlam. That being said, Mania 11 does seem like the more natural fit for that feud, following on a year from to what had happened a year prior. The more we've talked about it and sort of gone round in circles a little bit, I am I am actually
bollocks to this.
Get the clock on Kieran's
bollocks face. To this.
I am actually wondering if...
Don't lower yourself, Carl.
If O'Rourke Sr. had the right... I'm starting to wonder if maybe... Whilst I'm not entirely sold on it myself, I think maybe Sean Heel is possibly the way to go. If there's reluctance to put the belt on Bret long-term, I think Heel Sean is the way to go, because I think what's paramount to me is getting the belt off Diesel at Mania.
You mentioned there, Carl, that there's obviously a consensus around the table about Diesel losing the belt being the best thing. There's plenty of people here in the feedback who actually disagree with that. Nine Hunter from WrestlingForum.com says, it might sound silly, but actually push Diesel. They made him champ, but he was never the guy. The Royal Rumble match with Bret had a fuck finish. He didn't main event Mania when he should have. He wasn't even on the Midway video game. The big badass character got wore down and pussified, and they did the same thing to Sean a year later. Simple Fan from TPWW says, I'd say have the Rumble go the same, and then at Mania have Diesel go over Sean, and him and Sean shake hands afterwards. Instead of maybe winning King of the Ring, I'd have Bam Bam win and build a Diesel Bam Bam at SummerSlam and have Diesel go over. At Survivor Series, Diesel goes over Bret in an ODQ match with help from Sean. Gregor from Pro Wrestling Only says, I do like the idea of the Diesel-Bigelow feud, but for that to work, Bigelow probably would have to win the belt or else he'd look like a choker. He could take it at the first In Your House and lose it back to Diesel at SummerSlam. I don't think he can focus on challenges he would have good matches with Diesel, though. If you make Kevin Nash your champion, then you've already decided to sacrifice main event match quality for whatever qualities you think he provides as champion. It's more important that your challenges look like threats, a difficult proposition when you have a 7-foot champion, which is very much the kind of peril they fell into by choosing big guys like Sid and Mabel. Not J Tab from Pro Wrestling Only says, don't book Diesel versus Bret at the Rumble. It's his first pay-per-view title defense, and going to a non-finish, or even worse, winning, against someone the fans like more is a big no. You need to give him a comprehensive win over an upper mid-carder, maybe Owen or Backlund. Give him the Michaels match at Mania, but don't let Michaels control as much of the match. Make Michaels sneakier, hiding behind Sid and cowering from Diesel. Basically, make the fans want to see him get beaten up. The heel pool was pretty thin, so building guys up would be a must. Use February, March, and April to tow down the goofy country singer aspect of Jeff Jarrett's gimmick, give him a push to King of the Ring, and book Diesel versus Jarrett for SummerSlam. Jarrett is another guy who can make fans want to see him get beaten. It'd be a better match than Diesel versus Mabel, and it wouldn't hamper most of Nash's moveset due to being too heavy to lift. There's loads that could be said for the undercard, but the big issues need to start at the top. CS from Pro Wrestling Only in response says, of course Mabel shouldn't have happened, but Jarrett wouldn't have been a great substitute, and I like Jarrett. Much better match, obviously, so there's that, but nobody would have believed that Jarrett would actually win the belt, just like they didn't believe Mabel could. That was the problem with most of Diesel's title defenders in this era in general. Too many pay-per-views were main evented by champion versus mid-card heel who has zero chance in hell of winning. Bad News Gurner from TPWW says, I'd have Diesel feud with a revamped million-dollar corporation. I'd have HBK go from being his friend to joining DBRC. You'd have the face Diesel who said fuck the money and was his own man against the jealous HBK who grew tired of being a Diesel shadow and took the money. I'd also have Sid, the 123 Kid, and Lex Luger in the million-dollar corporation. With HBK, there's a heel group with a lot of star power that could provide fresh challenges. King Pitcast from the UK Fan Forum says, main thing, establish and maintain Diesel as a strong champion. At the Rumble, I'd have him beat Bret Hart instead of the shitty non-finish they did. Then work out some good opposition for him, which means turn Razor heel to face him at SummerSlam. If Bret cries about having to lose at the Rumble, piss in his mouth. That's all that immediately comes to mind, other than having someone better than Mabel win King of the Ring, maybe that would be Razor, and having Undertaker spend the year doing something other than fighting shit Ted DiBiase henchmen. With hindsight, it's easy to say just bring the Attitude Era forward, because they weren't going anywhere good until that happened. But obviously we've got many candidates there for what you could do with Diesel, whether it be Bam Bam, Razor, Jarrett. Jarrett, I'm not sold on as a main event contender, to be quite honest. Bigelow, kind of similar. I think Bigelow's in kind of dire straits after being kind of treated like a
I think
schmuck in 94.
Yeah, I think for Bigelow, see Razor, but with much more of a need of a reheat. Yeah, you've really got to have Bigelow kill a few no marks just to give him some credibility back instantly. On the basis of that, the one emailer's phrase there about taking the belt off Diesel at one of the In Your Houses, by that logic, I'd have to assume you don't do Bigelow LT.
Yeah.
By no means. Another emailer there also mentioned about Sean in the Million Dollar Corporation. I don't want Sean anywhere near the Million Dollar Corporation, and I don't want the Million Dollar Corporation to exist on our television show.
Yeah, WrestleMania 11 is their swan song in my head.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just to briefly on the Bam Bam Bigelow, yeah, I agree with you, not in the LT. I just would probably have him face Undertaker at 11.
Yeah. Everybody that wants to push Bam Bam has the idea that he's going to be a Vader type or a Lesnar type, the monster heel. Mm. To do that, you got to make him pretty much the focus of the heel side. He's the top heel in the whole promotion. And I don't think that Bam Bam Bigelow should be the top heel in the promotion, and therein lies the inherent flaw. No, but so with that said, are we still, after hearing those feedback and that suggestion, we're thinking that no for Diesel. Diesel has to lose at Mania. Is that around the table? Is that the consensus?
I think the question is, going forward, how are we going to use Diesel? Are we going to turn him?
Yeah, I'd have him lose the belt. Yeah. I'd have him lose the belt, and then I'd have him losing the belt
as a
be the seed that goes along the line to him losing it and basically turning heel again.
Sean has to win the belt in a controversial fashion, so there's natural rematches there anyway, especially if you want to do this first In Your House pay-per-view a couple of months later, and then obviously you can establish whatever group Sean's going to have, or backup, or even if you've started in a Mania, there's a natural series that goes there anyway. So I think, to me, Diesel still kind of goes by a similar timeline and turns heel later in the year, nicely in time for WrestleMania, I would hope.
Yeah.
It's probably the best bet.
Yeah, I agree.
Sean's going to be the heel champion and screwing Diesel. Diesel's still going to be a primary babyface
on the initial run of the series.
Yeah, for the first couple of months.
But then if you're looking for the turn, is the direction's taken away from the belt after he's failed on maybe his rematch. So, but that's by the by. Point is, we are looking, eventually he's going to go heel.
Yeah. So Diesel's going heel somewhere down the line. Just a couple of quick things there as we're kind of spitballing these ideas. We mentioned obviously Razor and LT. In that case, if Sean's winning, are we thinking Razor and Sean at SummerSlam?
Sean's winning the title then.
I'm just saying hypothetical.
Right.
That's. I think that would make sense, because I think by that point we've given ourselves 8 months to build up Razor's credibility.
King of the Ring?
You can have
the LT match wins King of the Ring.
You can have Razor win
SummerSlam
King of the Ring.
SummerSlam match is the ladder match.
You can have the ladder match for the world title.
It's the match that Sean couldn't win, so Sean has to avenge the ladder match.
With an even bigger prize at stake, so
the world title.
Even more bragging rights. Imagine the promos coming out of that when Sean wins. Yeah, it'd be difficult trying not to. You don't want to bury the IC title, don't get me wrong, but you know, you can have the cocky heel play. Yes, you beat me for the IC belt at WrestleMania, but when the biggest prize in the game was on the line, you know, old HBK, the Heartbreak Kid, was the one left standing whilst you were in a heap on the canvas.
Interesting this continues, this will branch off into something separate that I just wanted to get to, but if we're doing Razor and LT as a team, the guy that surely had to be involved with Lawrence Taylor is Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Because Absolutely. How awesome would Lawler be in this position? Because he's got experience with fucking with celebrities anyway. And one thing I'd want to do, if I'm not fucking good in the Intercontinental title, how about a group of Lawler, Jarrett, and Rhodey as a bunch of fucking Memphis heel stooges? Because those guys just yucking it up with every dirty trick in the book, every like cheap heat getting thing against Razor. And obviously, you can have, if Jarrett gets taken out of the IC title match with Owen, for whatever reason, a Razor's Edge injures his back, so he has to be replaced. You can have a natural Jarrett Razor thing going, and obviously King and LT. LT laughs at Lawler, who gets eliminated in the Rumble by the 1-2-3 Kid or something like that. So you do the same Bigelow LT situation. You just adjust it accordingly. Everything comes together as Jarrett, Lawler, and Rhodey become a heel unit, and then Razor backs up LT.
And you've just got the natural talker in Jerry for that role. I'm a big fan of Bigelow. But he was never the greatest promo. So in terms of, you know, talking people into the building, it was never going to work in that sense. And DiBiase, I've always had my doubts on him as a sort of how do I put it?
Anything other than a wrestler?
Anything, but in that manager role, it never quite sat right with me. It never really worked for me. So I think Jerry's an excellent shout for it, and you can even have him talk about Kaufman. I don't know, maybe that's a little bit over some heads because it's not national, but
the last time I was on Letterman promoting a match with the Silverfield, I slapped the piss out of him, LT,
and sent him to a hospital.
Yeah, sent to a hospital, put him in a neck brace. This is my drunk day to you.
I definitely agree with Jerry Lawler. So in that case then, with the match being a tag match with the people that you just named, so then in terms of like the match itself, it's actually going to be quite similar guidelines to the WrestleMania 1 main event.
Yeah, exactly, that's the whole point.
With obviously Razor and Hogan mold. And
when
and
does a wrestler ever benefit when it's a one-on-one match with a celebrity that he loses? That never works. It always works, almost always, when the celebrity is endorsing the babyface in some kind of situation. T, Hogan, Austin, Tyson.
But
it's to a much lesser extent with Lawrence Taylor, don't get me wrong, I appreciate that, but anything will help. Razor, you know.
So yeah, I could see that could work really well.
Strange.
Actually,
and it's a much better layer for Jarrett coming in as well to get him over.
Precisely, because he gets the rubber bean next to the motor mouth. He's going to get all this heat. You know, it's just perfect. Jerry doesn't lose anything by losing this match, and Jarrett's not over in 95 anyway. He wasn't over enough for the IC belt in January, in my opinion. Exactly. So talking about WrestleMania, you mentioned it there, G. Undertaker versus Bam Bam Bigelow was a suggestion. I actually want to get to this because it was also mentioned by Hyacinth Bouquet from WrestlingForum.com.
Okay.
He says, how did they not do this match? He suggested actually Taker versus Bigelow with LT as a ringside enforcer. He says he can't believe they missed out on that one because Taker was heavily feuding with a $1 million corporation at the time, and Bam Bam was pretty much the head talent. LT and Bam Bam would have their shoving encounter at the Rumble, but rather than a hotshot LT and Bam into the main event, a terrible move, they could have Undertaker continue the feud and beat Bam Bam, who would put up much more of a fight than King Kong Bundy did. So I'm kind of in line with that. I think for WrestleMania you can do it if you got the whole $1 million corporation thing. I think that the big decision with the corporation is you pretty much got to go big or go home with this act. You've either got to make it the biggest thing in the company or you've got to get rid. Because this, you want to talk about a parade of stiffs. You people out there who think the League of Nations is weak, I give you Volkov, Bundy, IRS, the Tonka, and the Supreme Boring Machine, as you once called him, Carl, Karma.
Yeah, to me.
And Sid.
Don't forget Sid.
The top heel.
Don't sleep on Sid, like most of the watching audience did. God, Liam, you can be so cutthroat about these things. No, to me, you send the corporation home, all the way home. Send them those pink slips.
I think you got to fucking beef up this Rumble match. Whoever's going to win, if Sean wins it, whoever wins it, Brett wins it, whatever scenario we come up with, you got to put some more stars in this match. I don't care.
That's what you do. You do double duty. That's exactly what you do. And we talked about the need to reheat some people, but Bam Bam, Razor, you can put them in the Rumble match. They don't lose anything by losing the Rumble match.
Of course they don't. Yeah, like I said, DiBiase puts a bounty on Taker at the Rumble. IRS, if you beat Taker, if you've got to do that match at the Rumble, you get $50,000. Anybody that eliminates Taker from the Rumble gets $100,000. Bam Bam's the one that does it. Clotheslines him over the top rope, semi-clean. Taker doesn't have to look bad. He can beat up the corporation on the outside or whatever. But you create a situation where Bam Bam, hopefully he can get like one of those those enormous checks that they hand out on game shows with DiBiase's face on, and give it to Bigelow, make a big show of it in the ring.
You can take flames around the check because it's Bigelow.
Because it's Bigelow. Exactly. Hoke it up a little bit. Vince will love that kind of thing. Taker comes out, makes the challenge, Bigelow fucks off, and then you can, again, I'm in the agreement of you need to heat up Bam Bam, so you haven't beat the fuck out of Paul Bearer. Leave him laying, get him off TV for a couple of months, and you can even do this tonight if you want to make it official, where you do the deal where DiBiase makes the challenge. Okay, you haven't got Bearer, you haven't got the urn, you're a weakened Undertaker, let's make the match for WrestleMania. If you can't beat Bam Bam, you have to join the $1 million corporation, which is what DiBiase wanted in 94 anyway, with a fake Undertaker. And if you do win, then the corporation's gone. And then obviously Paul Bearer can return, Undertaker's at full strength, beats Bam Bam, fuck off $1 million corporation.
And we can, just as in terms of wanting to make Bigelow some sort of monster, we got some names on this fired list that we can have him just killing him, in a minute and a half.
But he shows a sign of weakness, Bigelow kills him.
Yeah. Matches that go, say, no more than 2 minutes at most.
Yeah.
You just have him kill some of these guys on the fire list, never to be seen or heard from again.
Even in the Rumble itself, if you actually had Undertaker in the Rumble, I mean, you could feed some of the, you know, the rest of the members of the
corporation.
You know,
you can eliminate all of them
to Tatanka and Carm. Yeah, they all do the thing where they all in the ring at the same time. They all manage to stick around, and Undertaker comes in. They all try to gang up on him. He just kicks all their asses, eliminates all of them. But bam, bam,
clotheslines
him over.
Lands on his feet, fights to the back with all of them. Doesn't look bad.
Yeah. He drags Bam Bam out or something like that, and they just fight to the back.
No, leave Bam Bam in there to keep the heat. That's the whole point. Bam Bam's got to accomplish the thing that makes him look like he's on Taker's level.
You've got to let people digest that.
Yeah.
He's
eliminated him. He gets the big reward. He can fight off with the rest of the corporation. Bam Bam just gets to celebrate in the ring, and he can be in the final four or something like that.
Dare I say, in the process of reheating Razor, you can have Razor throw Bigelow out?
Yeah, whatever works, you know. Yeah. Just to get to a couple of other general directions here from the contributors. Hank from the F4W message board, a great man, says, I'd start the year off by not putting the Intercontinental title on Jeff Jarrett. That title reign bored me to tears, and the title and Ramon were hurt being involved in him. I think there were several better options on the roster, and that would have done much better with the push. Obviously, we suggested Owen, so was that a happy consensus around the table?
Yeah,
Owen, Intercontinital Champ?
Absolutely fine by me.
Niall Clark from the Facebook page says, first idea would be to take the belt off Diesel. He never really drew his champion. The top men in the company at the time were Brett and Shawn. I would also try and keep hold of Lex Luger. Okay, his main event run didn't work out in 94, but in a roster seriously lacking depth, he could have been useful. Bring upper mid-carders such as Razor and Owen into the title picture. I don't exactly know how, but The Undertaker should have been used much better in 95 instead of feeding him Karma and King Kong Bundy.
Later on in a year then, when we get Mr. Yankum, right, what are we doing with him? Are we able to do the Kane gimmick, or do we know that works, or what's the rules?
Oh, your passive aggressiveness is just screaming through here.
What's the rules on this?
Jackpot from the UK fan forum did say, we go down the same road with crowning new tag team champions at the Rumble with the tournament they did, but don't go with 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly. Instead, we bring in the Kane character and team up with the Undertaker as a babyface. Rather than Taker leaving him to die, it was Taker who actually kept him alive. The Brothers of Destruction with Paul Bearer win the belts. And obviously they would go on for the rest of the year and feud with the likes of Sid and Shawn and such. I don't know about the Kane character coming in as a babyface, to be quite honest, anyway. I think if you're going to bring him in, he's got to be a heel.
Worked. It's just the way they did it with Kane to start with, so I would say, again, that's where we're going with him, but...
I wouldn't do Kane yet. I don't think the time's right for it, to be quite honest. Yeah. I think that the tenor of the times isn't... I don't think you can just stick Kane in 95, and you can't really do it the same way, because the company's... doesn't have the same vibe and feel to it, and neither does Taker's character at that point either.
And
to me, that's the big thing. Taker's character isn't ready for that humanization yet.
No, he isn't, and you've also got to bear in mind that the Taker Bearer split that precipitated Kane's entrance by the time we've reached 95, they're not close to a split. There's no talk, there's no suggestion of tension there, so you've got so much time in between in what happened in real life. That sounds bizarre to utter. but in the sense of, you had over a year where they were separated as a duo and there'd been feuds in between, so it made sense of, where does Bearer go from here in his, quest for vengeance on The Undertaker? Goes to Kane. Whereas at this point, we're a million miles away from that for me.
Yeah, I think he's just come back and avenged Yoko.
Well, in that case, just to ask a question, I know nobody really cares. Then what's the timeline for Jacobs then? Because we're bringing him in.
Like I said,
so what are we doing with the guy?
Like I said, I'd sign him and let him develop. I'm not in a rush to bring him on TV. I don't think he was ready when they brought him up anyway. Look what happened to him.
If we've got nothing for him, then there is no point in bringing him up.
So I mean, I'd sign him because I think there's promise there with a big guy who can at that point move fairly well. He's a tag team with Al Snow in Smoky Mountain as a heel duo, and they had some good chemistry with Snow as the talker. So I'm not suggesting to steal the exact same angle, but I mean, if you need a heel team towards the end of the year, you can always put the mask on him down the line anyway.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't want to overexpose him at this point anyway, because if he's so wildly known as who this guy is, then he kills Kane down the line.
But it happened anyway. Yankum and Diesel, they didn't matter. Just a very quick question. Obviously, we're ditching the $1 million corporation anyway, but are we going with the Shawn Sid alliance? Because they bought Sid in February.
Shawn needs backup.
I
say that's the best role for Sid.
Is
the muscle the muscle for Shawn.
Taker needs an opponent, and I don't really want to suggest this for after WrestleMania, because it's going to be awful. We know it's going to be awful, but I mean, what else is there for Taker that's really credible?
Well, if Shawn's got stable, can Taker's interacting, and if Sid's the big guy who's going up against him, and if you've got one or two others in there as well, just add extra distractions for Taker, and cheap wins for Sid, and they involving Shawn heavily to Yeah, I'm going to have a problem
with that. Because I just think the weakness with Undertaker for me in 95 is the fact that they had this for like a year, the previous like 3 or 4 years, and it was really starting to get tired, where they treated the Undertaker completely isolated from everybody else. Like, Taker's wacky angle was completely away from all the other members of the roster. They didn't have a team with people very often, stuff like that. And 96 was when they started to kind of break that a little bit, and it refreshed the character tremendously. So I think, yeah, if him and Diesel and Brett end up as the kind of, and Razor are like the forces of good, those are your four big baby faces. You got heel Luger, you got Sean, Sid.
Well, that's what I'm thinking in terms of, because one of the things I was possibly thinking of, which is a bit fanboy, but sort of goes into your line of thinking of sort of the off to the side away from the main roster, was quite like the idea of Undertaker Hakushi for some bizarre reason that I can't get out of my head.
Yeah.
I think it's the old white, you know, the White Angel sort of thing, and take on. I don't know why that's just gnawing at the back of my mind.
So I was just going to say, Paul Sebert from F4W actually suggested the exact same thing. He was talking about the 1995 roster having some really interesting guys saddled with silly gimmicks. He mentioned Jean-Pierre Lafitte as an underrated worker whose moves seemed to be getting over in squash matches but wasn't going anywhere as the Cajun Pirate. Similarly, Jinsei Shinzaki was an awesome performer, and the warrior Buddhist monk gimmick he had as Hakushi was later used to great effect in Japan, but he did jack squat in the WWE because Vince couldn't figure out how to push a Japanese superstar that wasn't a Samoan pretending to be a sumo wrestler. Watch his match with The Undertaker and Michinoku Pro, and just imagine if they kept him undefeated for about a year and held the exact same match at WrestleMania. And I'm digging that just because I like Hakushi a lot, and he could have been the WS version of the Great Muta in terms of just, again, that air of mystery around him. He's a great wrestler, he's got a different style. I think in the end he's destined to be a babyface because he's just ace.
There's that sense of there's a mystique.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got the music down.
Yeah, we all remember the Hakushi entry. It was for the time, it was a great entrance, and it had a sort of special feel to it. Not the same as Undertaker's entrance, not to that extent, but there was just a vibe there to me. But maybe, you know, again, that's the issue of credibility with an opponent, isn't it? So you probably is sort of 3 or 4 months enough time to build up Hakushi, so he's ready there for Taker after Mania, and if not, what about as an alternative? Because I'm assuming, are we saying Brett, Lex, the Mania's the blow off, or are we thinking series there? Because
I would prefer it to be the best thing. It's difficult because I think when I was kind of playing my head, I was assuming Diesel was going to be the champion for this whole period of time, so I was kind of hoping Luger gets the win over Brett at Mania. Because I like the idea of Lex being the asshole at first, who really has something to prove by beating Brett. God damn, he's going to fucking do this. Lex is going to fucking go to Mania, yeah, and I'm going to prove that all you assholes are wrong all along. And then he gets the cheapest, dirtiest, shittiest, most gutless, meaningless win he possibly can.
Cornette runs in, jumps into his arms.
Exactly, and he acts like he's just won the fucking world title at WrestleMania with like the Jericho, I know,
SummerSlam 93 celebration.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, the balloons come
down. Yeah, balloons come down.
It'd be awesome. And then obviously, Lex is high on the horse. He's great for a challenger at King of the Ring, can lose, he can do the rematch with Brett, break it to the heat back, and beats him in the end. But if we're not going to do that because Sean's there, I'm not really sure where Luger goes after the break. Do you want him to go to Undertaker?
But no, but you can still under Kieran's scenario. God, I just folded like a cheap tent here. if we're going with Sean as the heel champion, you can still go with your idea of Brett Luger and extend it out past Mania.
Yeah,
that can still be the start of it, because the idea is we're initially still, you know, we're keeping Diesel with Sean. That was my understanding. I've got that correct. We're keeping Diesel with Sean for a couple more months. You know, a month, 2 months, whatever it may be. You can extend Brett and Luger beyond that, and if you're carrying those feuds instantly into the In Your House pay-per-views, I think at least that gives it, that gives those pay-per-views a bit more of a sense of credibility then. If it's, you know, these were matches that were good enough for WrestleMania 11, that, you know, from the Hartford Shopping Centre, then we can have these ones and In Your House 1 or 2 or whatever you want to call them.
Whatever we agree with, it seems that we're going in one direction, but like whatever we agree with in terms of who gets the belt, I mean, whoever gets it, I still think Brett and Lex is the way. You mentioned about like the ending of the Million Dollar Corporation. You were asking about like Sean and Sid. We lean towards like other groupings of people.
Well, yeah, because if for example Sean, if we go with the idea that Sean is winning the belt, I think we're all in agreement that he can't be just the champion on his own. He needs the group around him so that he can be the obnoxious douchebag leader, Ric Flair, with the horseman behind him. In essence, so you need to kind of come up with a good group.
Well, his
Sid's thing, the natural big guy of the team.
Yeah, I agree with Sid being like being the bodyguard. I don't know, maybe this is going to contradict. I don't mind having multiple factions. I was brought up watching wrestling with multiple factions. But in my mind, I had, I don't know whether you want to call it a strong faction or not, but maybe like a Heenan-esque family, but with Cornette involved, where like Cornette wasn't just with Luger, but he's with a handful of others. I'm thinking the Heavenly Bodies, if we were to try and...
He's still with the Bodies at the time anyway.
Yeah, if he's still with the Bodies at the time, but if you want to try and like reheat them, try and get them being like a solid force, and maybe another one I might throw in there is maybe Bulldog later in the year.
I was wondering, Owen and Bulldog with Corny and Luger.
Owen, Luger, and Davey Boy. So the Allied Powers do in fact come to life in 1995.
You know what? That's actually not bad at all either. As having Owen in there as well, because you can have the whole thing of it's people that have been hard done by Brett in their own personal opinion. Because Owen was hard done by Brett because he felt he was in his shadow. Bulldog can just say like, as little as possible,
because he's bizarre.
It'll be Cornette, but he can always say like, maybe like, you know, even though I won the belt at SummerSlam 92, Brett was the one that got the world title later in the year, whatever. He can use whatever he wants. Like three guys completely disgruntled with Brett, but obviously all their opinions are bullshit because they're heels and just jealous of him because he's awesome.
I'd be happy with that, don't get me wrong, but I would argue if we're doing that, I wouldn't want another faction with Sean. I understand what you mean, Jim.
Yeah.
When you watch it, and we talk about the Attitude Era, and it was very much faction heavy, but I've never been a big fan of, you know, if you're going to have a faction, to me you always have one faction. That's what makes them special.
Well, is the differentiation with Sean's group, it's really about Sean. What if you put Tammy and Candido with him?
Just to tie it all back to what we said earlier.
What a devious mind you've got, Kieran.
Sean, Sid, Spicoli, and Candido with Sonny. And that's your four. Instant credibility for the two new guys, because they're Sean's hand-picked buddies, and the guys that he thinks are great win the tag team belts. Sean's the world champion. Sid's the special teams.
But we need time to get to that point then, because Skip and Radford aren't coming until May.
No, not until May. So maybe Sean and Sid can owe enough to carry it over till then. I don't know. Who knows?
Still,
unless you want to throw a fifth guy in there, and then not have Sid wrestle very often, which I wouldn't be offended by.
I might be just on a line unto myself here, but I like Candido. I'm not saying like I think he's going to be like the next big thing in there, but I think like you could make something more of him in the mid card with like around the IC title pit area.
I don't think
I don't know if him being around Sean is necessarily the best thing for him.
An initial initiation.
I think that's an initial boost for him personally.
Because Owen's going to be the Intercontinental Champion at first anyway, so there's only so much you can do with him.
So you don't really need...
Feud with fucking Barry Horowitz? Yeah, good.
You don't, to me...
With Fire Barry.
Sorry, Barry. Yeah, maybe Mabel.
But to me, if we've got Owen as the heel IC champ, we don't need that other strong heel in the mix yet with Skip.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have Owen as the main heel guy for the whole year in the IC area?
Why not?
Maybe not. It wouldn't. I don't think it'd be the worst idea in the world. And the base we're bringing Skip in May.
I don't mind him getting a first run at first, but I can't see the harm in having the second half of the year be leaning more towards like building someone new like Candido.
We'll have to see. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you'd have to see how they get over in the first place. But
I just see just a teeny bit more.
We're not saying it's not there
in Candido.
We're not saying it's not there
with Sonny as a team. And just like, I don't know whether it's necessarily the best thing overall.
The period that we're looking at the team initiation with Sean in the group, saying absolutely fine for him.
Just because we're going to put them in this kind of a situation where just let them, because they're new guys. Yeah, no one knows who the fuck they are. Mm. Let them breathe for 6 months. Let people see them as big deals before we get. We don't need to rush to the finish.
I know they're going to be seen as big deals because they're with Sean
and tag team champions.
Hopefully tag team champions. But like I was hearing a mention of like, you know, they would like essentially be like the people taking the falls for them.
They don't have to. You don't have to do that. That's just, again, this is a different time. You don't have to do situation, you know, 50-50 booking where guys get beaten all the time, you can have Deke who finishes on until he ate their fair share of finishes that didn't hurt them.
If they're just going to be there to take the falls for Sean,
it
you
might
know,
be jobbers. That'd be
J&J. They're stars.
Okay. If they were going to be jobbers, we wouldn't put the tag belts on them. Okay. Well, that's what Gigolo and Tom Pritchard are at this point.
Exactly. As I was saying, you might as well just stick the boys in if that was the mentality, but that's not our point. The point that you would, with this team, the idea would be. Sure. I know, it's a shame. Oh, a great duo that would have been. In fact, you might not even need Sid. Just bring in the Gigolo.
He's the enforcer.
His real dad.
I love it. So we're going to get to some more of your suggestions very shortly. Before we do, just want to kind of tidy it up and kind of lay out what the skeleton is. We're going to obviously flesh this out a little bit more later on as we go along. But just so that everybody's following along, at the moment we have Razor losing the Intercontinental Championship to Owen Hart at the Royal Rumble. We have Diesel versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania still. But with Shawn Michaels winning the WWF Championship, is that a consensus around as well? No, it's not a consensus. Everyone's got their own plan, but is that the plan that we're going to work towards in this scenario?
No. I think so.
Alrighty, G?
Wasn't the one I agreed to, but I've been outvoted, so...
Yes.
There's powers of persuasion. So Shawn Michaels beats Diesel. He has a heel stable with him, which consists of Sid, and then obviously as we move down the line, Luis Piccoli and Chris Candido and Sonny. So they're going to be the group. He will then.
We can call them the Spit Roast.
Oh, for God's sake. And then obviously you've got.
Gold Club.
Oh, fuck's sake.
How much is that when Kieran says it, folks?
Well, drinking in the drinking game? Yeah.
Double drinks.
The Gold Club, apparently, of Shawn Michaels, Sid, and the tag team champions, Spicoli and Candido. Diesel's going to feud with them until about King of the Ring time. Razor's going to win the King of the Ring after teaming with LT against the team of Lawler, Jarrett, and the Roadie at WrestleMania. So Razor's on the up and up after losing the Intercontinental title. Wins King of the Ring. We move to SummerSlam, where it's going to be Shawn versus Razor in the ladder match, and Shawn will retain. I think it's worth having the conversation about what you mentioned, Kieran, about the timeline for Shawn to lose the belt. And I'm kind of more of the opinion that he should probably hold it until Mania as a heel. I kind of like that. I kind of prefer that more, the dynamic of Shawn as a heel all year and then losing in the end. Maybe end to breath, I guess, naturally.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe so instead of doing the face-to-face match, it's
more traditional.
Brett as the face, Shawn as the heel.
Wins the Rumble.
And Shawn can turn after that. I probably prefer that. I mean, the way it turned out, it works. It probably works better going long term for that direction anyway, so yeah, why not?
Alright, cool. In that case then, near the end of the year, we can probably have the Undertaker in there with Shawn then, that extra guy that we were looking for to kind of extend this a little bit further. Obviously, when it comes to the Undertaker, we have him and Bigelow feuding for the start of the year up until WrestleMania. After that, we were kind of in two minds. We're going to build up Hakushi as a heel with the mindset of going long term, him and Undertaker somewhere down the line. Did we agree on going with Taker, Sid, post-WrestleMania? I believe we're going to get him in that mix, aren't we, with it? It's going to be him and Diesel largely against Shawn's crew.
Yeah, because you'd have to think it was going to be Taker, Sid at SummerSlam then.
Yeah,
to be like the prelim to him getting his hands on Shawn in the autumn.
Yeah,
perhaps. And whilst we all can sort of collectively shrug our shoulders or possibly roll our eyes at the sense of Undertaker, Sid, because we know what a masterpiece that's going to be, bell to bell. At the end of the day, when it comes to Taker in 95, even though it's Sid, and we know it's not going to be a classic, let's say, I think it's still a notch up from...
A million times.
Than him and Karma in a casket match.
That's an underrated match.
You love the bit where Bearer hulks up and starts chasing DiBiase around the ring, do you?
As a matter of fact, I do. Actually, speaking of, you mentioned DiBiase there... With the Million Dollar Corporation being dead at WrestleMania, do you see the window maybe for him to come back and manage one guy? Do you think that there's anything there with DiBiase? Because obviously the corporation's dead, but he's still got a manager's license, and if you've got a newcomer coming in that could do with, I scoured it, the whole global landscape of professional wrestling to find the one guy that I am allowed to manage, because I'm only allowed to manage one, and this is the guy that's going to lead me to the goal that I always wanted.
The French Fries, Shane Douglas.
Music.
That he was. Yeah, there was two I was looking at. Was you a Triple H or Douglas?
Trips. Yeah, Trips.
In fact, I'd go more with Trips because Trips can't talk at this point, and Douglas can at least. Whilst he's never been as great as he thinks he is, you know, he can be quite the verbal diuretic from time to time.
Plus that thing with Triple H is, well, his debut character anyway, being like the hierarchy kind of like...
Yeah, snob and so on. DiBiase looked for his own type.
There's a kind of money link to it.
There you go. So Triple H comes in as opposed to just floundering for 1995 and beating Bob Holly at SummerSlam. You can actually do something a little bit of merit here, perhaps. Interesting. We'll move on now to some more contributions from you, the loyal listeners. Air Raid from the UK fan forum chimed in. At the Royal Rumble, we still have Diesel versus Bret. Diesel wins this time by pinfall. Shawn wins the Rumble, much as he did in real life. Since Sid was brought in to be a monster heel, we forgo the Shawn bodyguard story and have him join the Million Dollar Team on the way to Mania. At Mania 11, we still have Diesel and Shawn for the belt, and Diesel wins. The Raw after Mania, Diesel and Shawn have a face-to-face and a grudging handshake, but they aren't really friends yet, but both respect the fight they had the night before. They'll tolerate each other, but for now, Shawn's still very much a heel. For King of the Ring, for the title, we'll do Diesel versus Sid. Sid still looks big and scary by this point. We might as well let Kev beat him. I start to impress further upon the viewer the importance of Shawn as a total Iron Man. Shawn beats Adam Bomb in the first round, then Bam Bam in the semis, in which against the Big Beast, Shawn has to play babyface by default. On the other side of the bracket, Lex Luger beats any heel you want in the first round, but gets a bye through the semis when Bulldog goes to a double countout with Owen Hart. I want to create the situation where the fans are slightly split because Shawn has had to go through hell to get to the final, but babyface Luger has been lucky. In the end, the unlikely hero Shawn is tragically cut down when the corporation come back down to ringside and Lex actually accepts their help and wins the King of the Ring, earning a title shot in the process. The corporation kick the shit out of Shawn afterwards, and just when you're fearing for Shawn's life, Diesel comes charging out the locker room to save his little buddy from the torture rack. At SummerSlam, Diesel beats Luger, Shawn beats Sid. At one of the pay-per-views, Diesel promises Shawn the rematch the next night on Raw, but when the time comes, he's shown in the back with the absolute shit kicked out of him, and the match never happens. Next week, Diesel has to pick a partner for a tag match against the corporation and chooses Razor in Shawn's absence. Razor pulls the big turn and explains that he sat back and saw Diesel win the world title, then he saw Shawn get himself a title shot, and when he saw Shawn again be put into a position where he has another title match, what about Razor? All these WWF title matches being afforded to two guys he spent most of 94 beating. Survivor Series is Diesel versus Razor, and Bret Bulldog leading a team against the corporation and winning. But DiBiase finally plays his trump card by his goons running interference in the main event, and Razor wins the belt. Put Chico in a suit. Fuck, turn him into Don Johnson. Into 96, your plan is whoever gets more cheers out of Bret or Shawn winning the Rumble. Have Diesel last out just like he did in the real 96 Rumble in case you want to turn him heel. WrestleMania 12 is heel Razor versus Rumble winner Bret or Shawn. Additional bonus points. For most of early 95, I'd have used Doink sparingly on TV, only ever winning against your Brooklyn Brawlers, Quangs, anyone you want to bin off, but don't have him do any jobs. And then finally, you haven't come out on Raw for what the fans think is going to be a normal Brooklyn Brawler, Iron Mike Sharp squash, and then have Sid come out and fucking murder him. I love that heat so much. That should be even better if you can get him to a powerbomb dink as well in the process. Finally, since they've finally signed Tammy Sitch by this point, I get her on TV ASA-fucking-P. I'd milk her for everything. In 95, those best buns need to be on every lunchbox, bedspread, cheesecake calendar, anything. If I've sold you WrestleMania on the promise that Pam Anderson and Jenny McCarthy will fight or les off, my SummerSlam poster is 1/3 Diesel fights Luger, and 2/3, here's a glorious photo of Sunny in her bikini, and you can kind of see her nipples through it, and if you want to buy this pay-per-view in case you might see a nude, but probably not, you'll want to buy this one anyway just in case. You'll need your Stridex pads after that.
Feel the heat!
Tremendous email. There's actually much more to it. I've had to truncate some of the emails just in the interest of time, but some good suggestions there. I quite like the structure of a heel Razor. Again, it goes back to that thing that we said earlier on. It's either all or nothing with a Million Dollar Corporation. We chose nothing, so we're going a completely different route. Although, again, stable heavy, because that is obviously the big weakness, is the lack of heels at the start of the year. Death from Above from Pro Wrestling Only says, just looking over the pay-per-view results of the year, did they make a big mistake turning Bigelow babyface? As others will say, they were so thin for top heels. Basically, they kicked Bigelow out of the Million Dollar Corporation for Sid, but Bigelow would have given you at least one credible big monster for Diesel, and Bigelow was good in the ring too. Bigelow ended up in that feud with Tatanka, who seemed to flop as a heel if I remember right, imagine that, and it just feels like with hindsight, subpar use of a pretty useful piece of the puzzle. I'm not saying this fixes the year by itself by any means, but it might have been a bit better as a start. Which actually brings us to a good point about Bigelow in particular, because we mentioned there he's going to be wrestling The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Is there any major plan for him after that?
Well,
because they pretty much ran the course of him as a heel, which is why they turned him babyface anyway. Obviously they did it in a terrible way, but
he's been jobbed out essentially as a heel, and with the ultimate kind of jobbing out through our own hands really with The Undertaker. I think he needs to go away for a bit. Needs to go away, and we bring him back sometime around SummerSlam or just afterwards into the autumn sometime. But I don't know. I think really just it's been taken out of our hands a little bit due to how he was, you know, treated in 94. Is that we kind of have to have him as a babyface? I don't really know what we could do with him as a heel. I'd like for us to reheat him, but I don't really know how we'd go about that.
We've kind of now stacked it with Shawn's crew and Luger and Owen with Corny. We said this off air that we're weak on enhancement mid-card babyfaces, so maybe that's just the role for him. And in a similar vein, going back on what we said previously, probably not put Bulldog with Corny as well, because again, it waters down that the even if they're isolated guys with Corny, maybe he's again best served as a mid-card enhancement guy, going against people like Owen to build Hakushi, Bam Bam again also to build Hakushi, people like that. I think we need those guys there that on a thin roster, there's not a lot there, so they've got some element of name value, so at least I think get what we can out of them in that role maybe.
Just to kind of scale this all the way back, we mentioned at the start of the creative process the tag team titles are vacant at the start of the year, and there is such a dearth of teams that mean anything in this division. So you got the Smoking Guns and the Heavenly Bodies. The Bodies have been jobbed out. You've got, I mean, they ended up going with Kid and Bob Holly just to transition to the Smoking Guns because they wanted to, you know, Bigelow to lose the Kid for the LT angle. We wouldn't necessarily be doing that, but is there any kind of desire to kind of do this a little bit better?
The problem we've got with the Heavenly Bodies is as much as we...
Oh, we got the Head Shrinkers too, sorry.
Yeah, Fatu wasn't making a difference at this stage. What a terrible fucking gimmick that was.
Also 95.
Yes. Just remember, there's no hope with dope.
Kieran.
To me, those two have been damaged beyond repair at this point. The problem is, I sympathise, but there's no credible teams in the division to reheat them as heels.
Yeah.
So that's why I think I don't see... As good a team as they are, I don't see much we can do with them because there's not the credible babyface teams there.
This being the Bodies.
This being the Bodies, yeah. To help build them back up. So unfortunately, I think they are effectively just, you know, a talented tag team to help elevate a babyface team that we want to put more importance on. That being said, looking at the dearth of talent here, because we've got to find this babyface team to win the belts who can eventually lose them to Spicoli and Candido, and I am. Good God, I am struggling.
It has to be a mixer match. It has to be a mixer match. It's either got to be the Smoking Guns or a mixer match of like Kid and Bulldog or Kid and Adam Bomb or something like that, because Adam Bomb was decently popular at the time in 94, Star 95. A big guy who, you know, again, Vince's type, and he wasn't bad. He was athletic. There was promise with him there.
No, I think I prefer that as a sort of the almost the little and large.
Yeah, exactly.
Complementing each other team.
Bring out the best in each other kind of a thing.
As opposed to going... back to the Smoking Guns.
Have they even held them at that
point? I don't think they have, but they had this stint of always sort of being a focal point of the tag division, then disappearing because one of them got injured. And because did you ever notice that with the Smoking Guns? Very rarely did they actually lose the belts. Billy or Bar would always get injured. You think 95, they one of them gets injured. You get to 96, Skip and Zip beat the Godwins.
Kid and Bomb is like an oddball tag team.
I think so.
To get it at first?
I guess, okay, we're going to do that till May, June time when they drop the belts to the Gold Club, which, they got all the belts, so of course they're the Gold Club.
Exactly, that's why I said it, yeah.
Okay, so then Kid can go off with Owen.
Yep.
The IC title. What about heel team? We got another mix and match heel team in the meantime for Kid and Adam Bomb to feud with.
We're going to need something for WrestleMania for those two guys to go up against, because...
But Yoko and Mabel.
Oh, God!
No. You know what, though? For Kid to beat them...
Well, you got...
There's a story there.
You got the Head Shrinkers, remember? You still got the Head Shrinkers in
but
there.
But they're baby faces. They're baby faces who struggle with their footwear. Is this the nadir of the tag division?
Oh, it's awful. It's god-awful. I don't think it's... The only time you could say it's possibly worse is, like, the next year, when it's the Godwins and the Guns and the Body Donners and the New Rockers with Cloudy involved. In terms of a makeshift team, I don't... You know what? Oh, what an awful team I'm about to suggest. I like Yoko and Backlund.
A what? No.
Backlund's doing nothing.
Backlund... All I've got for Backlund at this point is Brett's killing him quickly on a roar at some point to get his heat back.
Is there anyone else that we can put together? I don't know what... Savio and Montoya.
That's not doing anything for these belts at all.
I know, what's it, freaking...
One spits mist, the other one's got the jock on the head. There's a joke in there somewhere.
If you rebrand them, Max Payne and Jean-Pierre Lafitte, I don't know.
No, from a short-term basis, from a mix-and-match standpoint, if you're going to mix and match a team to lose to them, it's got to be a couple of people who either look like they're a threat or are actually established names, and then it's like an achievement for them to beat. Because Kid and Bomb got to win the match at WrestleMania. So I think, you know, we're doing nothing with Yoko.
What about Karma and Tatanka? We can call them the Trail of Tears because they're so fucking awful.
What about IRS or something?
I'll say Yoko and Quang. The Orient Express, I don't know.
Go back to the old music.
We really are pissing into the wind.
This is slim pickings in the tag division here.
Oh, this is awful.
I think it's gotta be, you know what? The most convincing argument I've heard is Yoko and Mabel. You know, you're really scraping the barrel.
You really want at least another smaller guy in there for work, right?
Yeah, because it's going to be the shits otherwise. So again, that's kind of the issue with this roster, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You've got such little
working
depth.
With dregs anyway.
Yeah, you're working with the dregs. I mean, what you got? Like, Kamaru and Tatanka aren't carrying anyone to any classic matches anytime soon. I mean, Yoko and Hakushi seem like a natural team with, you know, the Japanese connection. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want Hakushi to lose.
Is there anyone on this fired list we can drag out to Mania?
Mabel and Moe's heels.
Oh no.
Mabel and Moe must have Yoko and Mabel.
Well, yeah, we might as well like freaking Bundy if that's the case.
No, let's not get carried away. At least Moe can do a moonsault.
Let's not say things we can't take back.
Okay, now might be time to bring back Michael Hayes into the ring. I do think that either Yoko or Backlund has to be involved in this team.
Oh jeez. Yoko Backlund.
Dare I say this, Kieran 2-for-2 here, why don't we just go with Yoko and Quang and just be done with it? Just get March out of the way. as long as we can drag the pair of them through to May to do the job.
Yeah. So WrestleMania is Yoko, Zuna and Quang against the 1-2-3 Kid and Adam Bomb.
Oh, God's sake!
Only slightly better than what they did.
I was about to say, is it any worse than the Smoking Guns against Yoko and Owen? Talk about one man having to completely carry a match with four individuals.
We get some more suggestions here. Haphazard from the F4W board says they could have brought in guys from Smoky Mountain and ECW before WCW started bringing everyone in once Nitro started. Benoit came in for tryouts, so he was clearly interested. And guys like Candido and Al Snow could have been used far more effectively, which we agree with there. Yo-Yo's roomie from Pro Wrestling Only says he would have turned Luger heel, had him win the Rumble to set up that as a Mania match. Michaels wasn't ready to main event yet, and Luger was being wasted by this point. So he obviously has a bigger designs for Luger earlier than we do. Zach Malibu from the F4W board with a few suggestions here. It says Lex Luger wins the Rumble, that's eliminating Shawn Michaels. Shawn is the skin the cat spot, but Luger catches him coming back up and nails him with the infamous steel forearm. Post-match, a frustrated Shawn notices LT mocking his loss and slaps him in the face. LT shoves back and a host of officials have to keep them apart. Due to the interference in the Rumble title match, a rematch is made for Raw. A special stip is added in the opening minutes of Raw to prevent interference. Rumble winner Lex Luger will be the special ref. Live on Raw, Bret Hart wins the championship by countering the jackknife with a small package. Post-match, Luger raises Bret's hand only to short arm clothesline him, hit him with a steel forearm and put him in the rack. Raw ends with Luger standing over a fallen Bret while holding the WWF championship. Luger goes on to add Cornette as his manager, which is what we have in pretty much in line with there. Yep. And they blame the WWF machine for forcing Luger to be something he's not. Luger mocks the American flag tight, saying he doesn't stand for any one country because everyone's living in his world. Shawn Michaels challenges LT to meet him face to face on Raw. LT shows up, but Shawn has Sid Vicious to back him up. Diesel comes out to even the odds. WrestleMania 11 now looks like Bret versus Lex for the title, and Shawn and Sid against Diesel and LT. Luger would win the title at WrestleMania. Shawn, Sid versus Diesel and LT would go on last, and the end would be LT pinning Shawn with a flying shoulder block.
God, no. No.
When Sid's on the fucking team as well.
Moving forward into the summer, Luger would continue to be pushed as the ultimate dick heel, with Cornette adding fuel to the fire as his spokesman. Bret would continue to be a thorn in his side, and one night on Raw, a brawl between the two would need to be broken up. The Smoking Guns would hit the ring and turn heel on Bret and hold him down for Luger to beat on. The British Bulldog would attempt to make the save but get beaten down as well. The following week, Bret and Bulldog would call the three out. The scene would be replayed until Owen came out with the steel chair and cleared the ring. It would be said that the family business has now been settled, and now the battle lines have been drawn. Cornette's crew of Luger and the Smoking Guns versus Bret Hart, Owen Hart, and the Bulldog. Michaels' face turn wouldn't happen by this point, with Bret, Diesel, Razor, Taker, Bulldog, and eventually Owen as the faces. He'd be the workhorse of the heel squad. So an alternate suggestion there for Lex Luger as the world champion very early on.
How about we reveal the Smoking Guns aren't brothers, they're lovers?
and they just don't know how to quit each other?
So like Brokeback Mountain before Brokeback Mountain.
They're married. That's the deal, we got the same name.
Yeah. Think about it.
At this point, we still actually haven't done anything with the Bulldog at all, have we?
No, Bulldog's an island unto himself here, and I think he's kind of in that position for me for the whole stretch of the year. He's the babyface who, when we need someone like in that middle kind of field, whether it be Hakushi...
We need the guy who is used to get the other guy over ready to fight the top guy.
Yeah, and you've got the natural association with Brett. If Brett needs to be away from Sean for a little while, why not do Brett and the Bulldog against Lawler, Jarrett and Rhodey to continue that three-man stoogery for a little while longer? You know, they went back to Brett and Lawler anyway in 95, and if Lawler's coming off the big match with LT, it's not like it's a step down really for Brett.
So the British Bulldog's really the number five babyface.
He really is, yeah. Number five and number six. JRH from Pro Wrestling Going says, I wonder if it would be possible, this is an interesting one, to turn The Undertaker heel in 95. He was pretty much spinning his wheels during that year, so a heel turn would be something at least. He also had credibility, so he could feud with the top guys like Diesel, Bret, Razor and Michaels. I would have changed his character though, made him darker, and get rid of the campy horror movie aspects of his character like the coffins and such. Maybe even have him turn on Paul Bearer and take him off TV. So there's an interesting, curious suggestion there. Taker is the main heel in the company this year.
Really addressed like the heel side of things now, so I think a bit of name power on the face side is fine.
Oh yeah, I think it's needed at this point. With the scenario we have, I think it's needed.
Stuff.
Well, it is kind of interesting to see like what you could have done, but just morphing this character completely into the top heel in the company. Mm. Time his drawing power was pretty much dead as that kind of special attraction they wanted after that horrible match at the Rumble 94, the casket match, when they killed him and brought him back. As soon as they brought him back, he was meant nothing on the house shows like he did previously. So they probably didn't really have that much to lose, to be quite honest, by doing that. Pat Dooley on the Facebook page says, you build around Brett, Sean, Owen and Lawler through most of the year. Brett wins the belt from Diesel at the Rumble, successfully retains against Rumble winner Owen Hart at WrestleMania, but drops it via nefarious means to Jerry Lawler at the first In Your House. Lawler reigns for a couple of months until Sean's boyhood dream comes true at SummerSlam after Sean wins King of the Ring. Sean holds the belt for the rest of the year, feuding with Owen and teasing a ton of tension with Brett. Meanwhile, Diesel, out of the title picture, takes Bam Bam's place in the Mania match with LT. He doesn't lose anything by taking the loss, since it's because of interference from Sid, which leads to a lengthy feud between Big Daddy Cool and the Million Dollar Corporation. With Sean in the main event earlier than planned, Razor, instead, takes up most of the year, dealing with the Kid and has his ladder match against him at SummerSlam. As the year winds down, start to angle him towards Goldust for their early 96 feud. Try and keep Luger by putting the IC title on him at Mania, but have him drop it to the Greenwich Blue Blood when it becomes clear he's leaving. Since Bam Bam winds up not losing all of his heat against LT, he can join Diesel in his crusade against the Corporation, winning the tag belts from them in the summer and holding them for the rest of the year. And mostly, no main event push for Mabel, again. on the subject of The Undertaker, though, Tiger Rick from the UK Fan Forum says, firstly, the Million Dollar Corporation should never go anywhere near The Undertaker or a main event. I wouldn't do too much different heading into WrestleMania 11, other than make the Royal Rumble the correct length, yes, I think we'd all agree with that, and rerun Brett vs. Owen at WrestleMania to get a good match on the undercard. I'd also give Razor and 1-2-3 Kid a proper one with the tag belts in the really weak tag division. From post-WrestleMania, Taker would win King of the Ring and take the title at SummerSlam and transition it to Brett at Survivor Series. Why anybody would have Taker pissing around in the mid-card while Mabel got a push is anyone's guess. I'd run the Sean-Sid feud until SummerSlam and have Brett and Sean tagging in the meantime. I can't believe they never had more interaction. That was a wet dream of mine back then. I would debut hardly any of the new guys in their terrible gimmicks, particularly Candido, Karma, Isaac Yankum, and, that being hindsighty, Goldust. Rob Lloyd from Facebook says, firstly, I would like to keep the title on Diesel initially, as hot-shotting it damages him and the belt. I would have booked Taker to win the Rumble, setting up him and Diesel at Mania 11. Brett and Razor would also be in the match to beef up the weakest Rumble ever. Sean versus Diesel for the belt at the Rumble, with Diesel coming out on top, seemed natural after their recent split. At Mania 11, Taker beats Diesel for the title. LT beats Bam Bam, Sid beats Brett, and Razor and Sean have a rematch in a ladder match. And King of the Ring, I'd have a rejuvenated heel Bam Bam win. Mabel would never be a notion for me. And Brandon Flowers from WrestlingForum.com summed it up and said, I said the same thing on the F4W board, but put the belt on The Undertaker and have him work against real opposition. So a bit of a call there for Taker to be the guy they build around. But at this point, I don't see him as the top guy solution. I mean, I think Taker's role, historically speaking, has always been the guy just beneath the top guy. I don't really think he ever needs to be the main attraction of the company.
Absolutely. And I think someone like Brett, for example, to me was always during this period was always a bit more popular than The Undertaker. I think that people may disagree there. I was thinking in terms of the popularity stakes, he was just a notch above. So I'm perfectly happy with the scenario we've got for Taker. And as we've said before, we've sort of got the heel side of things covered. I think when you throw in Sean and his group, and when you've got the idea of a heel Lex, a potentially heel Diesel later in the year, possibly, depending on how you'd go. the heel side of it is really taken care of. And I think we need Taker on that babyface side for a bit of credibility balance to me.
So you wouldn't be tempted with Undertaker then to do like his what was his click called?
The BSK.
Yeah.
No. Quite honestly. Actually, and that whole point was actually touched on by Skulls18 from WrestlingForum.com. He says they needed to balance things out because post-Mania 11 they had way too many faces who were seen as top guys and not enough top heels. Even Bigelow, who headlined Mania as a heel, was turned babyface shortly after. Heels generally don't stay on top too long anyway. We already had seen Yokozuna and Owen go for the title in the last year. In fairness, the WWE recognised the issue and tried with Hakushi, Sid, Mabel, Yankum and Jean-Pierre Lafitte. I think if any of those top six faces I mentioned above would have turned heel, they might have done marginally better. We have stretched the gamut of your ideas, and as we have come to what we kind of feel is a bit of a mutual conclusion here, so just to summarise what we have come up with, and obviously you can feel free to decide whether this is better or worse than WWF 1995. So we got the Royal Rumble, Owen Hart wins the Intercontinental title from Razor Ramon, The Undertaker beats IRS, and then enters the Royal Rumble and is eliminated by Bam Bam Bigelow, who collects the bounty from DiBiase. Yeah, so Shawn wins the Rumble. We got Bret and Diesel in the that match. Lex turns on Bret. It's a natural mechanism for Lex to turn there. So obviously you got that from WrestleMania. So at WrestleMania, we have Shawn Michaels winning the championship from Diesel in controversial fashion, likely from with Sid's assistance. Taker beats Bam Bam to end the Million Dollar Corporation. Lex Luger beats Bret Hart first time round and turns into the cockiest asshole in the room. Razor and LT go up against Lawler, Jarrett and the Roadie to give Razor a little bit of shine. Owen Hart and the Intercontinental Championship. We're kind of thinking British Bulldog here, maybe, is the guy that wrestles him.
Yeah, it's natural fit.
Yep. Natural fit. And then for the tag team titles, we have the 1-2-3 Kid and Adam Bomb, who win the belts at the Rumble against the Dream Team of Yokozuna, and we settled on Quang, I think?
We settled on Quang.
Quang. The New Orient Express. We start
and we will call them the New Orient Express just to emphasise their shittiness.
Yeah, because we're calling them the New something. The first In Your House will be a headline. We're looking at here, you know, kind of incorporating Taker and Sid. So we're thinking Diesel and Taker as a team against Shawn and Sid to kind of headline that first In Your House to set up King of the Ring. We'll do those matches split up. Sid and Taker and Diesel and Shawn. And we're thinking here, after debuting Spicoli and Candido as a team the prior month in May, they're going to help Shawn Michaels retain the belt against Diesel and form the Gold Club.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep that Bret Lex thing going, we're thinking Bret and the Bulldog against Lex and Owen, kind of bleeding over those two feuds from WrestleMania, and Razor Ramon wins the King of the Ring to set him up for SummerSlam. In Your House 2 will largely be a setup show for SummerSlam, which will feature Razor and Shawn, the blow off to Bret and Lex, Diesel and Sid. Taker's kind of left off the shelf there for SummerSlam, so there's any kind of gap that you want to fill there.
Damn you, Liam, trust you to find a flaw.
At Lawler.
If Lawler's not doing anything, why not Lawler though?
Yeah, I quite like that idea. After they're pissed off that they got jobbed out by Razor and LT, they go on the vengeance tour trying to pick on any star they can and end up losing pretty much all the time. So yeah, Lawler and Taker there with Jarrett and Roddy in tow.
Bite off more than they can chew, sort of thing.
Yeah, I like that dynamic. It works quite well. So Razor and Shawn keeps the belt through this period of time. Obviously, you've got two more In Your House shows before we get to Survivor Series, so Razor and Shawn can continue their feud. At some point here, they'll have the ladder match where Shawn will eventually win. Thinking Lawler and Jarrett against Bret and Bulldog post-SummerSlam, because obviously Bret's got nothing after the Lex feud ends, and we're assuming that Luger's gone after SummerSlam, which is what happened in real life. So we're kind of booking on that assumption there. Actually, might not be the worst idea if we talk about plans for the franchise coming in. Bigelow is kind of done if it were going on the Luger principle. If Bigelow's done in November, then maybe that's Bigelow's exit out the door.
Yeah, he gets the Duke and gets the benefit of not being called the Dean. How's that, French fries?
There you go. Good start. In keeping with what we said earlier on, Hakushi, who's been built up for about 8 months here, going against The Undertaker for a series of matches. So that'd be quite nice. This leads to Survivor Series, after Race has been jobbed out and bullied around by the Gold Club. It is the Gold Club at Survivor Series against Diesel, Razor, the 1-2-3 Kid, and Adam Bomb as the babyface side.
Yeah, previous alignment there.
Owen Hart is Intercontinental Champion. He's been the champion for most of the year. He's wrestling Bulldog, wrestling Kid. Going from there, we're thinking Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker after Survivor Series. That's the natural next guy for Shawn to go to, and that can lead to the Royal Rumble, where it is Taker versus Shawn and Bret Hart winning the Rumble to get to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12. Face versus heel, Bret Hart wins, just like he always wanted. So Shawn's happy until he has to lose.
He's held the belt for a year, of course he's happy. And now he's embarking on his face turn.
Exactly, so. And he can turn babyface the night after WrestleMania 12 and go on his own separate way there. And hopefully, if Diesel's in their position after Survivor Series as well, he can go heel for a feud with Bret.
And I guarantee, yes, Shawn will be in a strong position as a face going forward from when he goes face this time, then in the previous incarnation.
Absolutely. So I think with that said, are there any more comments around the table about any of the individuals or any other plans?
I like that we argued to keep Max Payne and then haven't used him once.
So I was right.
Yeah.
He's an enhancement guy.
There's a few names towards the tail end here. I mean, Douglas is the most recent one that we haven't covered yet when he comes in August. But there's a few names that come in that would obviously play bigger parts by the time we get to Mania 12 with Sean and Brett in the main event.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered that incoming list in enough detail in terms of what we feel is important, with Sid coming in February and Spicoli and Tammy and Candido. And all that. I think we've covered the important ones there. Obviously, Goldust coming in, I'd suggest we treat him exactly how they did initially. I don't see any reason to deviate from that script. It's one of the few things they got right in 95. Possibly the only thing they may have got right in 95.
There is that association with the gun family. Lovers.
We're not doing that, surely.
Are we not? Does it matter? It's a smoking gun.
Ahmed comes in later in the year. Treat him much the same initially. I don't see any reason to deviate from that.
Slam the fat guys. Trying to get hurt.
Ringmaster Steve Austin. Obviously, we don't bring him in as a ringmaster, but it's December, so I don't really feel we need to go into much detail there. To be honest,
96 will take care of itself for Steve Austin, hopefully, if all things go well. Yeah, so I think that with that front, I'm feeling pretty good about the way we got things. Kieran, you got your way in the end. It is the Shawn Michaels show in 1995.
Makes sense.
You think it's the way? Do you think that this would have actually done significantly better for the company?
It's all speculative terms of money, but be a damn sight more entertaining, that's for sure.
It wasn't what I originally wanted, but just the idea of ultimately leading to heel Shawn against face Brett at Mania 12 sits. I feel more comfortable with that than I do a babyface match, which is what they ultimately did. And again, to me, as I say, whilst I would have gone with Brett in my initial thinking, the most important thing to me was to get the belt off Diesel.
It's not necessarily the direction I would have gone in, apart from like a few little things like the Brett Luger feud. But yeah, no, it's solid enough. It's better than what they did do. So again, like as I said, we can only try and book this stuff and just hope that common sense comes out and that this would actually work better. But we don't know. For all we know, we could put all this in there, or we could all do our own individual opinions of what we want, and all of it could fucking fail because wrestling just wasn't hot at the time.
So it's possible.
So it's just a thing of like, in terms of making the best of a bad lot, it's a fine damn chance, I think.
Yeah.
Be more uplifting, G. Be more of the optimist like I am.
Well, as I said, usually I am the optimist, but seeing that everyone else is, I thought I'll take more the pessimist of just like, well, it doesn't matter that we booked all this shit because none of it fucking happened in the first place, did it? So I got to go and watch fucking Sheamus. Is that the next one? Is that the next...
Fix Now? Someone has suggested that, actually.
Fuck me, because that's more stressful than this one, I can tell you. I might be seeing a few ECW names in that rumble, maybe. Like a Tommy Dreamer.
On his own, obviously, because he's too fat for anyone else to be in that ring.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you for all of your feedback. If we didn't get to it this time, I apologise. We had so much to get to. I obviously, like I said, had to truncate some in the interest of time, but I very much appreciate all of your efforts, and hopefully we gave you a show and a 1995 that is much to your liking, at least much more than what they actually did. I want to mention that next week's show, we will be back, of course, and we want your feedback because we've got a show that we're very much looking forward to. We are titling it Vince Russo's Unsolved Mysteries. Basically, this is going to be an awesome one. Credit to you, Kieran, for the title there. But we're going to be looking at Vince Russo's loopholes, logic gaps, unfinished stories, and things that he did but completely that just left you dumbfounded. Write them in, send them into the Facebook page at facebook.com/scgradio, or put them on the forums, and we'll get to them next week. Vince Russo's Unsolved Mysteries.
Get ready for the logic bomb. It's back.
4, G. John Chase.
Fuck.
4, Carl Jones.
Kieran will try and put Dreamer back in the box.
And 4, Kieran O'Rourke.
We're gonna need a bigger box.
I am Liam O'Rourke, and we are out of here. Thank you very much for listening.